This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
For my friends.
77 WABC.
When Eric Adams became the front runner in the race for mayor in 2021, campaign cash flowed easier, including millions of dollars in public matching funds. But we're just learning now where some of that money came from. Documents showing lobbyists fundraised for the mayor in 2021, fundraising that has not been reported before. The documents were filed with the city clerk's office, and the numbers amount to hundreds of thousands of dollars for his honor. All told, at least 10 lobbyists fundraised for the mayor's inaugural run, raising more than $341,000.
Another setback for Mayor Adams' plan to relocate some migrants to the northern suburbs. A judge has once again ruled in favor of a county opposed to the program.
In the past few days, New York City has moved 86 asylum seekers to the Red Roof Inn in Poughkeepsie. But it cannot relocate any more after a judge granted Dutchess County a temporary restraining order.
Nassau County legislators approve a 99-year lease agreement with the Las Vegas Sands, and that paves the way for a $4 billion resort and casino at the Nassau Coliseum site. The Say No to the Casino Civic Association has been fighting the proposed development, saying it will bring crime and traffic to the area.
Former President Donald Trump's criminal trial will begin March 25th of next year in the midst of presidential primary season, and he is expected to make himself fully available. That was one of the headlines from a hearing tended by attorneys from both sides, but not by Trump himself, who appeared remotely, visible on several video monitors in the courtroom.
Breaking news, Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis says he will officially launch his presidential bid on Twitter. DeSantis' team says that he will make the announcement alongside its CEO, billionaire tech mogul Elon Musk, on Twitter Spaces, the social media site's live audio chat platform.
The debt ceiling talks in Washington and whether lawmakers will be able to come to an agreement to avert a global economic crisis that all sides say will take place if they don't get an agreement. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy described his face-to-face meeting with the president as, quote, productive. But lawmakers have less than 2 weeks before the deadline of June 1st. That's the earliest the Treasury Secretary believes the federal government would not be able to pay all its debts.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
So how does a Jewish kid like this end up in Minnesota? I forgot what Bob Dylan's real name is, but happy birthday to one of the greatest musical influences. I don't think he can sing. It's kind of like Springsteen, but man, he can write. And he's got some great songs that he sings and tons of other songs you don't even know that other rock bands sing.
Robert Zimmerman.
Robert Zimmerman. That's the same name, I believe, as the guy that ran against George Santos out on Long Island. Not the same guy, but I believe the same name, right? Robert Zimmerman. Isn't that right?
I think. Sure. If you say, yeah. I'm with you.
Dylan is top five for you, all-time rock and roll. When you consider not just, I mean, the singing, I'm not a big fan, but what is writing, all that stuff. Dylan, top five for you?
Yeah, he's one of those guys that's been, you know, he's been around forever. He's got some stuff that I don't like, but he's made some records that really are cool, I think.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, I mean, some of the slow stuff, right, but he's made, and he's played with a lot of great musicians,
oh, yes,
too.
Yeah.
You know, he played with Mark Knopfler.
Dire Straits.
On record, you know, yeah, during the 80s, you know, in the 80s, and he had great collaborations. He had great musicians on his records.
Well,
and,
you, what's it called? Traveling Wilburys.
Yes.
He was in that band, too.
Right.
Roy Orbison and Tom Petty.
Yes.
And
George Harrison.
George Harrison. And,
the one that's forgotten about.
Mookie Wilson.
Yes, Mookie. Yeah. It was right after the ball went through Buckner's legs.
That's
he started,
right.
Producing rap bands. No. The one you still, but you will not think of the fifth one.
No,
is.
Let me think about this. I should get this.
He was in a very fun band.
Very fun band.
That's from, I think they're from Liverpool. I don't know, but he's.
They're from Liverpool too, and it's not a Beatle.
Well, no.
George Harrison is there. I know.
Right. This guy actually organized the band, produced the record.
Traveling Wilburys.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to go with.
You're going to go with some silly
Nick
name.
Kershaw.
You were very close.
Who was it?
No, Jeff Lynne.
Oh, Jeff Lynne's a big deal, of course.
From ELO.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And
ELO.
He actually...
Well, now you're going to play ELO today.
Yeah, of course.
And Traveling Wilburys today. My friend Susan Otto Graham up in Bethel, politician up there. My mother loves her. She loves Lou's musical selection. Lou did a great job. Lou finds out basically whose birthday it is and... Then him and I decide what songs we're going to play.
Yes.
Lou is a genius. She loves Blowing in the Wind.
He produced Tom Petty's solo records, too. They
oh,
got to be
I love
good
Petty.
Friends.
Yeah. Talking about my mother, I have to tell you that she was a talk all over the town yesterday.
Oh, my God. All over the...
Facebook, they went nuts.
They just wanted to run for president.
I know.
That's so funny.
What were the four things? Noam, do you remember the four? I know one of them was... Well, let's get Noam to do it. He recaps it. He's got that news voice, you know. My mother yesterday, Naomi, at 8:05, set the world on fire. She said a couple of really terrifying things. I mean, we loved it. My listeners love it. But the FBI should be at her house at some point this morning. No?
There were many items, but the four biggest ones that stand out. President, your mother said, President Obama is a punk.
He's a punk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just the beginning. Mayor Adams is a dirtbag.
No, she didn't say that.
She did.
She called Mayor Adams a dirtbag?
She called him a dirtbag.
Yeah.
She also said if an illegal shows up at her house, she will blow them away.
Well, they are up there. They're in Sullivan County, I think, by Liberty. Yeah.
And to top all that off, she says Someone needs to kill the president.
Well, that was unfortunate.
Yeah.
I don't think she meant that.
No, I don't think she did.
I don't know about
no, she meant
president.
It. She said it two or three times.
She did, yeah.
Somebody needs to kill this president. I go, Ma, you can't say that. It's a terroristic threat. She's like, I don't care. She's 88. Like, she cares. If the FBI came to her house today like they did to Roger Stone or any one of these folks, you know, even Trump down in Mar-a-Lago, she would laugh. She wouldn't care. Naomi was terrific yesterday, and we've got a great guest list coming up today. I mean, great. Frank Morano is going to start the show at 6:40. I love Frank. He is one of the smartest people I know, and every morning I get to work around 5 a.m., and I'm good for about a 15-minute conversation with Frank just about every morning. He's off the air, other side of midnight, and he's just a great guy. He'll join us at 6:40. The other rage, besides my mom, or rave, I should say, has been Curtis Sliwa, who I've now decided to put on this program every day but Thursday, four mornings a week at 7:05, because he's great and he's fearless. So yesterday afternoon, I told you after my show ended yesterday that I had to go see Ava in the hospital. And thank you, a lot of you folks out there, for asking about her. Turns out she's got some type of bacterial infection. I don't even know. They kept her overnight. They're pumping her up with a bunch of antibiotics. And she was miserable yesterday and sad. And I spent 5 hours there after the show. Then I had to run home, change, and go to Judge Jeanine's book party last night. So it's a very, very long day. But I'm sitting in the hospital with Avon. I get a call from Laura Curran, who I love, former Nassau County executive, now the host of Cut to the Chase here. She says, you know, the Westchester County, is it the DA or the executive, George Latimer, is looking for Curtis. Because Curtis mentioned that he was going to go to all these pristine towns in George's district and search for places for migrants. And I don't think George is all that happy about it. So George wanted to talk to Curtis off the air. And I said to Laura, I said, no, I'm not going to give you Curtis's number. But what I will do is give you the show number. And when Curtis is on tomorrow morning, which is now this morning, George can call in. And he's going to do it. So that's the genius of Sid Rosenberg. Why waste it on a private call?
God, the display right now. School's in.
School's in. So Latimer will join me and Curtis coming up at 7:05. Peter King is upset again because he has the 8:40 Power Wednesday slot. And Justin, I'm not taking the blame for this, Justin continues to push him back to the 7:40 slot, which is also a great slot. They're both great, 7:40 and 8:40. But Peter always feels like, oh, they're putting somebody on better, and Justin did it again. And that did compel Peter to put up a Facebook and Instagram post how he's pushed back to 7:40. So he's on then, 8:25 Gnomes Nuggets, 8:40 the brilliant constitutional lawyer Alan Dershowitz. Then at 9:05, the lovely Dr. Nicole Sapphire, Fox News. She's been helping me and Danielle with Ava. And then finally at 9:40, one of the big, big, big radio stars in this town for many years, big, big star at WFAN Afternoons alongside Evan Roberts, the man Craig Carton will join me at 9:40. He's got a big charity softball game coming up June 17th in Staten Island. He invited me to play, and Craig will join us at 9:40. So it's a huge show. Huge show coming up today. But I do want to talk quickly about this book party last night before we get to the news of the day. Judge Jeanine across the street at Smith and Walensky's. And it was a great party. Her publisher, this guy Sergio Gore, is my new boyfriend. I love him. Love the guy. Very, very close with President Trump. He actually publishes all of Trump's books. And according to Sergio, dines with the president dinner on an average of 3 times a week. Very, very close with President Trump. But it was a great guest list last night, starting, of course, with John and Margot Katsimatidis, and I love them both. Margot looked very pretty last night in pink. In fact, both Margot Katsimatidis and Emily Pankow were dressed in pink last night, and so was I. I actually wore a pink button-down shirt underneath my blue jacket. So a lot of pretty in pink. We can play that today. Pretty in Pink by Psychedelic Furs.
The education just goes on all morning.
Margot Katsimatidis, Emily Pankow, and Sid Rosenberg all in pink last night. Chad was there. Chad did a great job. I love Chad. Chad introduced me to so many people last night, and he would say, here's our number one guy. He's the best in the city. Nobody does an interview like Sid Rosenberg. Nobody. So Chad was there. Like I said, Jeanine and Sergio. You know who I met last night? President Trump, one of his attorneys, we have them all on. Joseph Tacopina is coming home from Europe today. He'll rejoin the show on Friday. There's news, of course, about the Stormy Daniels case. But Alina Hava, she's on TV all the time. And recently, about a week or so ago, there was a story that she wrote that talked about the fact that she's a very pretty girl and, you know, she's a great lawyer, too. It's not just about my looks. I could be pretty and a great lawyer. And I know that's true because my wife, Danielle's gorgeous, and she's an attorney. So I met Alina Hava last night, and she will make her debut on this program coming up tomorrow at 8:05. We got all the great attorneys. Kellyanne Conway, her and I, in the back of the room, had about a 20-minute conversation last night about her ex-husband, George, about her kids, about my kids. Very personal and lovely. I love that lady. That is a wonderful, smart, great woman. Thomas Knepp was there last night with his partner, Steven Reiser. Those two guys are defending the Marine hero, Daniel Penny. So those two guys, great guys. Monica Crowley, Rachel Yucatel, she'll probably join us on Friday. Dominic Carter and his lovely wife, Dr. Siegel. Geraldo Ernie Anastas. Just a star-studded event last night for Judge Jeanine. And I was happy for her. The book is great, and she killed. They all left together after. She was on Sean Hannity, and I think Hannity and Fox News invited like 20 people from the party. They invited me, but I was tired. It was late to sit there and watch Judge Jeanine. They've got a live studio audience now for Hannity. So I think all that went well. So thanks to Judge Jeanine and Sergio and John and Margo for a wonderful party last night. Rita showed up after her interview with Cuomo, and Janice Dean is not happy. And I'll play some of those comments coming up before Curtis, because Curtis did say yesterday, if the governor does not apologize, which he did not do any of it, I know Rita spent a lot of time on the women thing, and unfortunately, no one cares about that. I mean, the women thing was kind of like taxes for Al Capone. He murdered 100 people, but they got him on taxes. Same thing with the women thing, you know. We want to hear the governor say, I'm sorry for killing 15,000 people. Or, you know what, I really screwed up with bail reform. And he didn't do it. So Curtis said yesterday on the show, if he doesn't apologize, which he didn't do, then he's done. That's it. He's finished. So we'll get to that coming up at 7:05, too. But the big political news today outside of Trump's trial for the hush money coming up March of next year is that Ron DeSantis will, in fact, finally officially launch his presidential bid today. Finally. Talking about this forever. Now, while he's sitting back, Donald Trump has all this momentum and in most polls is destroying Ron DeSantis. One poll last week had Trump up on DeSantis 63-19. That's a 42-point, more than that, I guess, 43. So DeSantis has been sitting back, and Trump has been gaining all this momentum. But DeSantis gets in the race today, and he's going to do it on Twitter alongside his buddy Elon Musk. So in a Wall Street Journal interview, Elon Musk did confirm yesterday, him and DeSantis today, it's on, bitch. Elon Musk, cut number 12, Lewis.
Yes, we'll be interviewing Ron DeSantis, and he has quite an announcement to make. And will be the first time that something like this is happening on social media and with real-time questions and answers, not scripted.
So the governor's brother, the Mensa Chris Cuomo, who does a show at 8 o'clock on News Nation, he's still not getting ratings, no Tucker Carlson, doesn't matter. The guy that's really picked up ratings has been Eric Bolling. He has done well since Tucker left. Fox News taking a beating and not much from Cuomo at News Nation, but he's got a show, and for some reason, Alec takes his audio. I mean, I just bashed his brother for lying again all day yesterday on this station. Why are we playing Chris Cuomo this morning?
Exactly for the last 15 seconds of what you just said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's funny when you talk about Chris Cuomo.
It is?
Yeah, so when I put a Chris Cuomo cut on there.
But this is like a serious, I mean, what he said makes sense.
Yeah,
that does make sense.
That's part of the reason I put it on there. Now you have to grapple with whether or not you're going to agree with him or whether or not you're going to stick to your guns.
I do agree with him here.
Right.
He's talking about what this does for Elon Musk to introduce Ron DeSantis. So here's Chris Cuomo last night, courtesy of News Nation. This, Lewis, is cut number 13.
Everybody's going deep on DeSantis, announcing on Twitter. The governor of Florida announcing his run on Twitter in a talk with Elon Musk. That's the lead everywhere. Matter to you? Not really. Should it be the lead all over cable? No. But it is, because cable's a pack animal, and it goes with whatever is shiny in politics by default. And this is shiny by default for good and bad reasons. Okay, here's my take. First, this is a good move for Governor DeSantis from a PR perspective. Why? Because he's dominating the news cycle in a way he wouldn't otherwise. How often does everybody lead with going to announce, right? So good for him. He's been out on the hustings and looking for advantage for weeks and getting nowhere. He's still getting spanked by Trump in the polls. So I'm not sure what this move will do for him overall, but it's certainly getting a lot of shine in the media. That said, it is a great move for Musk. This elevates Elon Musk from oddball genius to kingmaker.
All right, from oddball genius to kingmaker. That is Chris Cuomo last night on News Nation. Big guest list, as I mentioned, really the next 3 days. I mean, a lot of big names. Today, once again, Frank Morano, Curtis Sliwa, Peter King, Noam Lake, Alan Dershowitz, Dr. Nicole Sapphire, WFAN's Craig Carton, all stopping by today, Hump Day Wednesday, with your favorite talk show host and favorite show in New York City. The numbers prove it. Sid and Friends in the Morning, exclusively right here with Bob Dylan on Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Pass out my goddamn, kill them all. Here comes the story of the hurricane. The man the authorities came to blame for something that he never done. Put in a prison cell, but one time he could have been the champion of the world.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
At one point last night when I walked into the Judging Book Party wearing a blue jacket but a pink button-down shirt, Margot Katsimatidis wearing pink, Emily Pankow wearing pink, so three of the four people were wearing pink, and I glanced to my left and Caitlin Collins, you remember her, the CNN town hall, petulant, immature little baby trying to get to Donald Trump, good try.
She wasn't there.
No, but she's wearing pink this morning.
Oh,
no,
okay.
She wasn't there. No. She wasn't there.
Oh, I love the show. No. I just stopped in for a steak.
Well, I gave you the list of people. It was still very impressive. John, Margot, Chad, Emily, Judge Jeanine, Sergio Gore, Alina Haba, Kellyanne Conway, Thomas Kniff, Stephen Reiser, Monica Crowley, Rachel Yucatel, who else? Dr. Siegel. We've got Geraldo. We've got, it was a very impressive list. Dominic Carter, Ernie Anastas. Ernie Anastas is so cute. Ernie Anastas, who is an Anchor Hall of Famer, all those great years on channels 2 and 7, and the last couple of years on Channel 5. And for me, growing up, he was my favorite, whether it was with Kitey Tang on Channel 7 with Warner or Michelle Marsh. I used to love him and Marsh. So when he came here, it was a big deal for me because, you know, way back when, network news mattered, and I watched it every night. Now these bastards, this Bill Ritter, just give me the news and shut up, Bill. I'm begging you. They don't know how to do that anymore. Now they make faces, they editorialize. When Ernie did it, he just gave the news. He was great. But Ernie is the complete antithesis of me. What do I mean by that? Well, Ernie, I can't imagine, ever said the word ass, let alone the F word. Now, of course, you find out, you're going to, oh, Sid, you should have only heard. But the Ernie that I know, who's now 80, he's like this sweet, gentle. In fact, the segments he does here are called Positively Ernie because everything he talks about is positive. Everything I talk about is a disaster. Right? Crime, migrants.
He's never used ass in conjunction never. With another word right. either.
Like, so I would have thought if he hears my mom, for example, Naomi Rosenberg, who again called Eric Adams a dirtbag and Barack Obama a punk yesterday and received a lot of love on Facebook for doing that, I would have thought he would have been horrified. But no, he walked up to me last night and he grabs me. And he says, I have to tell you.
I'm just going to say it like I have to tell you.
I have to tell you. I love your show. I love your show. I said, I'm glad to hear that, Ernie, because I don't know. You know, you're such a nice guy. He goes, no, no. He goes, and when you go crazy and when you start to yell and stuff, he goes, you do exactly what everybody is thinking. But you do it in such a way that's so smart and entertaining. I don't even realize sometimes, you know, what you're actually saying. I'm just caught up in the whole thing.
The refreshing part about it is you just get everything out there.
It's, exactly.
And that creates a positive vibe for everybody to cling on to. It's hard to explain, but it's I'm drawn to it in a crazy way that's also positive. And your mother, oh, my God, she is the refreshing breath of air.
He loves my mom, yes. Naomi continues to be the hero. And
I'm going to have her on one of my segments and try to get as much positivity as I can out of her. I'm not saying I will, but I do love how she just says it like it is.
Yeah, I got to get her on Ernie's show. That would be a great, Naomi pairing. Rosenberg with Ernie Anastas. That would be great.
You're kidding, Naomi, about that, aren't you? You really don't want to kill. Well, let's go on to the next subject. Let's go on to Adams now. How do you feel? Oh, okay, let's go on to somebody else.
The only thing that she'll talk nicely about is my late father, who, by the way, she never talked nicely about in the 90 years the poor bastard was alive, never. Donald Trump, of course, my beautiful wife, Danielle, and my children. Outside of that, you could mention anything to Naomi, and it could turn into a complete disaster.
Well, these trees are going to fall any time now, so.
Oh, good old mom. We've got a huge guest list. We're going to kick it off with Frank Morano coming up at 6:40, breaking down these city council races. You know, we talk about all these elections. We get caught up in the president and Congress. These city council seats, what these people do on a daily basis is big. They've got a lot of power, and they're gross. They are gross. So we're going to talk to Frank Morano about these city council races. Curtis Sliwa, Peter King, Noam Layden, Alan Dershowitz, Dr. Nicole Sapphire, and Craig Carton all to come your way, plus traffic with Joe Nolan coming up next. But right now it's time for the Tunnel to Towers update. My dear friend, the CEO, Frank Siller, he's going to tell us about one of the many fallen first responder families the foundation has been able to help. I love this. Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Good morning, Sid. Tunnel to Towers, we've been able to help hundreds and hundreds of fallen first responder families thanks to the generosity of 77 WABC listeners and our supporters all over America. Today, I want your listeners to tell them about one family we recently helped, a family of Marine veteran who became a police officer in Raleigh, North Carolina, Officer Gabriel Torres, superhero. First serves our country, then becomes a police officer. Officer Torres was on his way home from work this last October when he was shot and killed in a mass shooting in his neighborhood. He left behind a beautiful family, his wife Jasmine and a two-year-old daughter, Layla. When we heard about this, we were heartbroken, and we reached out immediately to Jasmine, and we let them know that their family was going to be taken care of, and we're going to give them a mortgage-free smart home. We're going to pay off their mortgage. This is who your listeners are helping, Sid. When they donate $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, we're helping the heroes of families like Officer Torres. So please, visit T2T.org to help us bring stability to the fallen hero first responder families who have lost so much. Thanks, Sid.
All right. Thank you, Frank, as always. And donate, folks, just $11 a month for America's heroes. Do it today at T2T.org. Once again, that's T2T.org.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers on 77 WABC.
Justin Ellick here with your bottom of the hour sports update, sponsored by Pete Morgan of Peerless Boilers. Go to PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com to find a dealer near you. They're the world's best built of boilers. Fireworks late last night in the Bronx with the Yankees overcoming a 4-run deficit against the Baltimore Orioles in the opener of a 3-game set, ultimately stealing a 6-5 W after bottom of the ninth heroics from the captain Aaron Judge that led nicely into Anthony Volpe's first career walk-off in the form of a bottom of the 10th sacrifice fly. The win marks 5 straight for the Bombers and brings them within 2 games of the second place Orioles now and just 5 games back of the first place Rays, who lost in a laugher last night, 20-1 to the Toronto.
Yeah, they lost by 9 to like one of Whoop would say, if you had the Rays and 18 and a half runs.
Yeah.
How many home runs does Aaron Judge have now?
I want to say 13 or 14.
And he missed like 11, 12 games.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on pace to do what he did last year. He's
right.
Unbelievable player.
On pace and then some.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about Ohtani or Trout. Aaron Judge is far and away the best player in Major League Baseball.
You can make the argument the two New York sluggers are the faces.
Alonzo strikes out a lot. It's kind of feast or famine.
Sure,
Judge is the man.
He is the man. And come season's end, I guarantee Pete Alonzo's batting average will be right up there.
We'll see. We'll hope.
We'll see. We shall see. Anyways,
well, they can't win a game. They lost again to the Cubs yesterday.
Yeah, after winning 5 straight. Will you settle down?
Not sure.
Yeah. Yanks will try and keep it rolling in a real game against Baltimore tonight at 7:05. Nestor Cortez getting the ball against Baltimore's Tyler Wells. As for the Mets last night, they dropped their opener in Chicago by a score of 7-2, snapping their win streak at 5 games. The aforementioned Alonzo extended his lead in this year's home run race, bashing his 18th of the year in the fourth inning. But the rest of the offense, they failed to show up and root to the loss. The Mets get the chance to bounce back in their middle game against Chicago tonight at 7:40, Kodai Senga versus Marcus Stroman in that one. On the hardwood, the Celtics beat the Heat 116-99 to stay alive in the Eastern Conference Finals and bring their deficit to 3-1 now before Game 5 in Boston tomorrow night. In Dallas on the ice, the Golden Knights beat the Stars 4-0 to take a 3-0 series lead in the Stanley Cup Playoffs Western Conference Final. Vegas will try and close things out in Dallas tomorrow night's Game 4. As for the Eastern Conference Final, the Florida Panthers trying to close out the Carolina Hurricanes tonight up 3-0. Puck drop at 8 p.m.
Viola, baby.
There you go.
We go, Benny.
There we go. Sports sponsored by Pete Morgan of Peerless Boilers. PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com to find a dealer near you. They're the world's best built boilers, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Entertaining and informative. This is Sid and Friends in the Morning. 77 WABC.
Again, wishing the great Bob Dylan a happy birthday. This is the Traveling Wilburys. Jeff Lynne, Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, Roy Orbison. Bob Dylan, happy birthday. You know, Fleet Week starts today, so you'll see all these good-looking sailors walking around the city in their white suits. I know, Justin, you get turned on.
Yeah, that's what, oh my God.
Fleet Week, that cool stuff
that's
right there.
That's like my 4th of July, baby.
Oh, yeah. They sold the Flatiron Building in Manhattan yesterday back to, I believe, the original owner, or one of them at least, for $161 million. And 140 years ago today, 140 years ago today was the opening of the Brooklyn Bridge. You know what knows all this type of stuff is Frank Morano, who I say all the time, and I mean it sincerely, is one of the great radio hosts we've got in this city. His show, The Other Side of Midnight, gets massive ratings, 1 to 5 every weekday morning. And he's on with me now once a week, and is terrific. Frank, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I am doing great, Sid. It's great to be here on such an auspicious day, not only Bob Dylan's birthday, but with so many things happening with the Flatiron Building and the Brooklyn Bridge. And I'll tell you, that's one of the great underrated Frank Sinatra songs of all time is Brooklyn Bridge. It's a song nobody knows about, nobody ever plays, but he sings it just beautifully. And I would suggest if people are looking for a way to remember the Brooklyn Bridge today, play that Frank Sinatra song.
Does Piscopo do that song in his act ever?
He has not. And I brought it up with Joe years ago, and like most Sinatra fans, he seemed somewhat unfamiliar with it, actually.
Wow. Let's get to the big national news. Then I want to do all these local city council races, which you know more than anybody about. DeSantis is finally going to announce today that he's running with Elon Musk on Twitter. And he's been sitting back and allowing Donald Trump to build what looks like an insurmountable lead. One poll's got Trump up 43 points. But now that it becomes official today that DeSantis is actually running for president, do you see DeSantis tightening the race? Because lots of folks that I talk to think he's still going to get killed. What are your thoughts?
It might tighten up a little bit, but honestly, I don't see it getting much closer. I think DeSantis has a few things working to his disadvantage. One, he's running a new media campaign when the bulk of Republican primary voters tend to skew older. And I think, look, Twitter is great. Twitter Spaces is great. I'm on Twitter. But I think the vast majority of people that are going to be voting in the Republican primary states in New Hampshire and South Carolina, in Iowa, they're not people that are paying attention to a Twitter Spaces conversation. That's one, but it's relatively minor. Two is this onslaught of horrible ads that Trump and Trump's PAC are running against DeSantis all over cable news, not just Fox News, but CNN and everywhere else. And I think DeSantis may end up hurting his brand significantly the way Low Energy Jeb did, the way Lion Ted did, the way Little Marco did. And there's a reason that nobody, except maybe Chris Christie, that ran against Trump in 2016 ever would think about running against him again, because the damage that you do to your reputation among Trump voters is real. And I think DeSantis, at a very young age, could be branded with one of these dopey Trump names. And Trump has got two of them so far,
right?
Ron DeSanctimonious and Ron DeSales Tax. That's going to hurt him. The feud with Disney is really going to hurt him, I think, because a lot of conservatives and a lot of Republicans like sending their kids to Disney as well. And then lastly, the legacy media, the New York Times, Washington Post, they're going to look for an opportunity to do negative stories about DeSantis every single day. One, because unlike Trump, DeSantis gives them zero access. And two, I think there's a fear that DeSantis might be a stronger candidate in the general election. So they're going to do whatever it takes to make sure DeSantis never gets to a general election. So I don't see DeSantis going anywhere, honestly.
Yeah, I like what you pointed out there. Very good stuff, Frank Morano. Let's get to some of these local city council races. I know that the Central Park Five were exonerated. I don't care. O.J. Simpson wasn't convicted of murder either. These kids, at the very least, were out there wilding and robbing and beating up people. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to turn Yousef Salam into a hero. Actually, page 2 of today's New York Post, Yousef, a doctor of exaggeration. In fact, I remember the first episode of Real Housewives of New York, Ebony K. Williams wearing a sweatshirt with the names of the Central Park Five on there made me nauseous right away. Now this guy not only calls himself a doctor, now he's running for city council up against a lady that a lot of people love in this city, Inez Dickens in Harlem. That's the one that's got my eye. What about you?
You know, there's every borough except Staten Island has at least one very competitive city council race. And this is the one in Manhattan, Harlem. The incumbent, Christian Richardson Jordan, who's got to be one of the worst people in the city council. She has the worst attendance record in the city council. A cop was killed in her district. She doesn't even put out a statement saying anything supportive of the police officer. She kills this project that Bruce Teitelbaum was doing in there that would have created a lot of jobs in her district. She's part of the Democratic Socialists of America. And this is, now that she's not running, this is going to be a very competitive council race where you have the former council member, Inez Dickens, who's now in the state assembly. She's running. Another, a current assembly member, Alfred Taylor, he's running. And yes, one of the, what they call the exonerated five. And I share your skepticism of Yousef Salaam. He's running. I think Dickens is going to pull that out because, believe it or not, a lot of folks in Harlem are pretty concerned about rising crime as well. And Dickens is running on a tough on crime pro police platform. And I think there's a lot of room for that, even in a Democratic primary.
A mutual friend out of Staten Island, Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis. She texts me about five times a week now. Every time, I swear to God, Frank, every time Justin Brannon says or does something, I get a text from Nicole. There's a lot of people in our city hoping and praying somebody, Ari Kagan, somebody beats Justin Brannon. What are the odds of that?
None. I mean,
none.
None. I think Kagan will win his Republican primary, but Kagan would have had a much better shot if he'd stayed as a Democrat and tried to run as a Democrat in the primary. The way this district is voting now and the way Brannon has worked this district his whole life, he wins in the general election going away. I mean, I don't see it even being competitive. I think Kagan wins the primary, but Brannon wins overwhelmingly in the general election.
Let's stay in Brooklyn. This new Asian district, this new majority seat in Brooklyn, new Asian district. What does that look like?
Well, it is a competitive Democratic primary between two or three Asian candidates. You got Stanley Ng, Susan Zhuang, and Wai Yi Shan. And those are all on the Democratic side. This is a district hand-carved for an Asian candidate to win, which is why it makes the Republican choice of a candidate in this election so bizarre. They chose, in a district where the three Democrats are Wai Yi Chan, Stanley Ng, and Susan Zhuang, where Asians are voting Republican at higher rates than ever in New York City, the Republicans chose to endorse a guy by the name of Vito Labella. Now, do you think that's a good strategy?
Well, I mean, now, it doesn't sound Asian to me. I don't know.
Now, you talk about these Brooklyn Republicans. They managed to take defeat from the claws of victory whenever possible. Yeah. Vito Labella is facing a primary against an Asian candidate, Ying Ying Tan. But I think Labella wins the primary, and then he loses because of the demographics of this seat. Big miss by the Republicans. They would have had a chance to win this seat had they nominated an Asian candidate.
Let's go to Queens, one of the most loathsome people in this city. This lady, not that long ago, handing pamphlets to kids, telling kids how bad cops are. Real lowlife. Tiffany Caban. And a bunch of folks running against her. I know Curtis Sliwa is endorsing hard Kelly Klingman. What about that race?
Well, look, I think this is a Democratic district these days. I don't see the general election being competitive. However, Caban has alienated a lot of people, and she is much more radical than the actual Democratic constituency is. So I could actually see maybe an upset here where she loses the primary to her primary opponent, Charles Castro. The other race to watch in Queens is the attempted political resurrection of former cop, former convicted felon, and former domestic batterer, Hiram Monserrat, who your friend Joe Tacopina represented. A lot of folks may have seen the video of Hiram Monserrat beating up his girlfriend and breaking a bottle over her face. Then after he was expelled from the state Senate, he went to federal prison for a campaign finance violation. He's trying to mount a political comeback by running against Francisco Moya in the Jackson Heights area. area. You never know. Rumor has it that Eric Adams is actually pretty close to Montserrat, and they know each other from their days in the state Senate together. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. How about my friend Inna Vernikoff in this battle against this Russian gentleman there in my part of Brooklyn, where I grew up, actually, Midwood, Cheapside Bay, Brighton Beach, the Gravesend section. How does a win again look for Inna?
Well, you know, she got a late start in this race, which I don't understand. She had every advantage in the world, and she's very well respected. Now she's finally starting to get some fundraising juice and momentum going. I think she wins the primary, and even though her Democratic opponent, Amber Adler, has done some interesting things and excited some interesting aspects of the constituency, I think she wins the general going away in that district as well. It will be somewhat competitive, but I think Inna Vernikoff is headed towards not an easy reel. Election, but a relatively easy re-election.
One more that's got my eye is Vicky Palladino. She was on this show with me last week. Of course, I had Joanne Areola on out of my district and Rockaway Beach and, you know, Breezy Point, Bell Harbor, Rockaway, the whole thing. And I thought she did a pretty lousy job on Friday. Put her on because of Margaret Powers and Paul King. But 2 days before she was on, Vicky Palladino was on. And she was defending Fort Totten, Bayside, that whole area in terms of the migrant influx. And I thought she was great. But you tell me, this race against Tony Avella may not be all that easy for Vicky. What are your thoughts there?
I think this is a district that has become increasingly red. This was a district that was heavily Republican. Then it went to being a purple district, then a blue district. Avella was the only Democrat that was able to win it for years. And then a purple district again. And now Vicky Palladino and Curtis Sliwa and Lee Zeldin, who all have won overwhelmingly on there, I think they're in a pretty good situation. I've supported Avella in the past. And one of the guys that's running against Avella in the Democratic primary, Paul Graziano, I think Avella probably wins the primary, and he will be the toughest opponent for Vicky because he used to have this seat and he was in the state Senate, and he is much more moderate than some of the other Democrats running. But I think Vicky wins the general. She's worked this district hard, and it seems like a lot of those rifts within the Republican Party that would have been very tough for Vicky in the past, I think they have largely healed, and I think she's in a good position. I think Tony is the toughest Democrat. So it's not a slam dunk, not a layup, but I think Vicky's in a good position.
One more 30 seconds, this Bronx race with Marjorie Martinez. What do you see there?
Yeah, it's actually, I think I misspoke this morning when I was telling you about this. It's Marjorie Velasquez. That's what you get when you're doing these shows, you know, and you haven't slept. But Marjorie Velasquez, Democratic incumbent, this is an interesting seat. This is a seat in the Bronx that Curtis Sliwa won and that Lee Zeldin, I think, won as well. And this is actually a rare opportunity for the Republicans to elect someone in the Bronx for the first time in anyone's memory. And the chairman's sister, Christine Marmorato, is running. Curtis is running a candidate against her, George Havranek. I would guess that this primary, if they had none, it would be a much easier situation for the Republicans because it has become a bit divisive. But I think Marmorato probably wins the primary, although it's not a guarantee because Curtis is popular there.
Yep.
And I don't know what happens in the general. I think the general is anyone's guess.
Six Republicans now, is that right, in the council?
That's right. That's right. But Kagan, I think, probably loses. And then Marmorato potentially has the opportunity to be the new sixth. And if the Republicans somehow win this Asian seat, if Vito Labella converts to being Asian, then you have a possibility of seven. So
I love it.
Never
That's
know.
Great. All right, well, listen, a lot of Curtis Sliwa mentions. Of course, he's coming up next, as he does four times a week at 7:05. But you are brilliant. I'm telling you, man, you are such a great radio host. You're so up on all this stuff. I love it. Thank you again for all this great information, Frank. We'll be listening again later on tonight, buddy. I love you. Thanks.
Thank you, Sid. And I will tell you that my neighbor insists that he saw a picture of us as he was looking on his
Instagram. I love this story. You got to tell this. And I hope Danielle is listening, my wife, because she breaks my balls about this all the time. Go ahead.
This guy tells me, I saw you on Instagram with some really Italian guy, that guy who's always so Italian. And I'm thinking, who's he talking about? Some gangster friend of mine or something? I don't know. And he pulls out your picture. I said, that's Sid Rosenberg. That's Sid Rosenberg. I don't think he's got a drop of Italian blood. He says, well, he looks Italian. And I said, I think you've just seen him in all these gangster pictures he does now. I said, maybe you're right. Maybe you got a point. I think I've never met a Jewish fellow that wants to be Italian more than Sid Rosenberg.
That is true. And I readily admit it all the time. I was so mad at my parents. What do you mean, Sidney Ferris Rosenberg? Look at John Travolta. He's Tony Manero. Why can't I be him? Frank, you're Italian and you're great. Great, great job this morning. I'll see you tomorrow, pal.
Thank you, Sid. It's always a treat to be on. Continued good luck.
You too. Frank Morano, guy gets monster ratings overnight. I mean, 12s. 12s and 13s. Does a terrific job. That wraps up a great hour number one. Got a great hour number two about to come your way, including Bill O'Reilly's morning message, Congressman Peter King, and Curtis Sliwa. Only in the 7 o'clock hour. Hour two is next.
Touches you, his hair stands up on end. As your legs begin to quiver and his mind begins to bend. Oh, baby, you're such a tasty treat. But I'm under doctor's orders. I'm afraid to overeat.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Boy,
this is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends.
77 WABC.
Here's my official response to yesterday's interview on WABC radio here in New York with Rita Cosby and the former disgraced governor of New York. When it comes to nursing homes, he continues to lie and gaslight and not take any responsibility or accountability of what happened to over 15,000 seniors here in New York, including my husband's parents. There was no pushback. During the interview, he continued to blame everybody else except the man that signed the order for 46 days to flood nursing homes with over 9,000 COVID-positive patients. It was disgraceful. It was hard to listen to. He rambled on. Rita Cosby barely pushed back on him. So it was just more of the same.
So Curtis Sliwa is now on this program four mornings a week. And why is that? Because I think he's great. Legend, icon, guardian angels does a great job here noon to one every weekday, all weekend long. And during our conversations yesterday, in between the migrant stuff, which we'll get to today as well, we mentioned this Cuomo interview yesterday. And you said flat out, if the governor doesn't apologize, then that's it. Almost like you were giving him one more chance, even though you and I are both on record calling Governor Cuomo a lowlife, a scumbag, a murderer, all those horrible things. And they all apply, by the way, all of them. And I listened, I know you did, and I didn't hear any of that, not even close. In fact, I will tell you that when it came to crime, bail reform, nursing homes, it was a disaster. In fact, at one point, he blamed Floyd and Neely. And I was hoping and praying at that point, Rita was going to say, well, wait a second. If you have such a problem with mentally ill people in this city, why, Mr. Governor, did you shut down all the mental hospitals?
That's right.
She didn't do that.
When Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo was first elected, we had 30,000 beds in our state mental health facilities. Presently, we have 3,000.
Right.
Most of those were cut during his years in office. He is responsible. But I will tell you this, three strikes and you're out in baseball. His first appearance on WABC actually was with Cindy Adams. People don't realize that. And, you know, I didn't want to find out who he was stooping. You know, that was Cindy Adams' big thing. Who are you stooping now? Okay, enough of that. Then John gave him an opportunity Friday night. This guy wouldn't apologize. He had fake calls coming in with that. Who is that? Mariano Schlavo. That producer of the podcast that nobody listens to. She was handling the calls. It's come on. What is this? And then he gets into the ring with Rita Cosby. I must tell you, I would never have gone at him for being the governor chief perv in Albany for the first 20 minutes. Enough of that, Rita.
I mean, the
should have gone right to the nursing homes, right to no bail, and keep it there for the first half hour.
That's all we care about. I mean, to be honest, the women stuff, and look, I'm always very, very sensitive to those stories, and I agree with the women 99% of the time, but I actually believe this was taxes for Al Capone. right? This was selling merchandise in a Vegas hotel for O.J. Simpson, right? The bigger crime was not that he kissed some lady at a wedding or touched some girl or Lindsay Boylan, of all people. So of all the things he did, to me, that's a waste of time. I agree with you. A complete waste of time.
So I wouldn't doubt that people were tuning out. They don't want to hear that. That's not, you go for the prime cut. You don't go for the garnish. That was the garnish on the plate. People wanted the meat and potatoes. The meat, long-term nursing homes, 16,000 dead people, most of them unnecessarily. That's number one. Number two, no bail. He signed it into law. He never said, I'll veto that, I'll stand up to you. No, he capitulated.
He did, but Melissa DeRosa once said to me that he thought when he did it, he was getting the dangerousness clause, which he didn't get, which would have made a big difference.
Oh, come on.
I know. I'm with you.
And by the way, Melissa DeRosa, remember she had that Zoom meeting with all the legislators where we had to lie to the federal government about how many dead elderly people there were because we were afraid the federal government was going to sue us.
Right.
Now, she comes on this station from time to time. She should have to apologize for that. She admitted that they lied about the dead elderly people.
Well, she's got a brand new book coming out, and I believe it comes out in October. And according to her, there is a lot of honesty in the book, but we won't know.
What about Cuomo? Hell no. You know she's not going to rat out Cuomo.
No, I mean, I think they're probably still good buddies. I don't know that, but that's my guess.
Of course they are. Yeah. Come on. You know how the Cuomos operate. It's the sixth family of organized crime. I've known each and every one of them. Remember, Fredo, Chris Cuomo, was my radio partner for
a remember.
Month.
Yes. So 0-3, as far as you're concerned, Andrew Cuomo 0-3.
Oh, my
enough,
God.
Enough.
That's it.
No thanks.
Stunk out the joint.
I agree.
Our listeners
don't
want to hear him unless he does an Anthony Weiner. He falls on his sword. He apologizes. He shows humility. I was wrong. I made a mistake. If given the chance, I would never do it again. And a lot of people would say, okay, it took you a long time, but at least now we're open to you criticizing everybody else. Now he wants to be the go-to
critic. Yeah, now he's got all the answers. All the things he complains about, he was the architect of. He built it all. Now he wants to tear it all down.
He was so proud this was a sanctuary state.
Right.
He was so proud.
He just said that a couple of days ago when Eric Adams went to court to try to figure out a way to shed that. Cuomo was going, no, I'm proud for a sanctuary state.
And he called ICE out. Now, to Rita's credit, she did question him on that.
Yes, she did.
Why did you call ICE thugs?
Yeah, that was
and
good.
He danced around that. Well, you know, they did some thuggish things. Never once said MS-13 were thugs. This guy is a fake, phony, fraudulent, fugazi hypocrite.
Not exactly a profile of courage. That brings me to my next person.
Yes.
So I'm in the hospital yesterday visiting my beautiful daughter, Ava, and she's doing okay. Hopefully. I haven't spoken to her this morning yet. Danielle has. And I get a text from Laura Curran, our friend Laura. And she says, look, George Latimer is looking for Curtis. He heard you on the show, and you and Curtis on the show this morning. And Curtis was saying he's going to all these beautiful towns and in New York and Westchester and Chappaqua. And George wants to, quote, unquote, set the record straight. So I said, good. Here is the number for the station. Curtis will be on 7:05 tomorrow morning. George can call in, and we can discuss it on the air. It is now 7:17. But I have not seen a call.
Of course not, because he knows the first place I'm going to is Chappaqua, the whitest suburb in America, waving the lawn jockeys are white. 33 Old House Lane, the guest house of who? Bill and Hillary Clinton. Let them set the example. They claim they're a sanctuary county. It's a blue county. Do you realize if Westchester had voted for Congressman Lee Zeldin, he would be our governor now?
Yes.
Not Kathy Crime Wave. We love the illegals. Anyone opposed them is a bigot. Yesterday, she called us all bigots.
She's done it a million times. By the way, how did Rob Astorino win there?
Oh, my God, because, hey, I went up, I supported him the first time against a guy named Spano, who was the Greek who had been the county executive. He lost the first race, won the second race. But let me tell you, Rob Astorino has been spot on, ahead of the curve, ahead of everybody, including me.
Well, he was the first guy to reach out to Miranda Devine and say, you know, I see these illegals flying in the middle of the night at Westchester Airport. And when I bring that up to Eric Adams, in the fight with Joe Biden, he never addresses
that.
Well,
let me tell you something. He knows they were coming in Queens because the buses were loaded. They went in the wrong direction on the Hutchinson Parkway with police escorts, bells and lights, and dropped them all off at 103rd Street in Corona underneath the number 7 train on the way to Citi Field. Eric Adams, you knew that. You didn't care. They dispersed because, remember, he's another guy who called I stunk.
Yes, he did.
Just like Cuomo.
So you also told me yesterday, after I was done telling you about George, Profile of Courage up in the Ramada Inn there in Westchester, you said, well, you're not going to believe this one, Sid. All right, I got friends who went to Albany, went to Buffalo, all these great party SUNY schools, Stony Brook, where they smoke a heck of a lot of weed. You said, you're not going to believe this, Sid. But when your friends go to a big, party, right, sorority party at one of those schools, the illegals are going to be knocking at the door.
That's right, in Stony Brook. Welcome, the illegals. My wife, Nancy, also has been going in and out of the hospital.
I know.
She's in some tough situations, but she's still doing the research.
I'm praying for her.
She heard that yesterday. I informed her. I said, you know, Stony Brook. She said, are you crazy? What do you think? When I was a student there, she had to make 400 pizzas a day to feed the Chinese students who are coming in from Red China in order to pay her way through the college. She said, we walk around the campus. We don't want to be looking over our back to a bunch of illegal men, especially. You don't know if they're rapists, if they're pedophiles, if they're sexual assaulters. All of a sudden, you're having a party, a tonga-tonga party, right? And there's Diego there, you know, trying to prove to you he doesn't suffer from erectile dysfunction in the middle of a sorority party going, more cerveza, please. This is crazy. And who did this? Kathy Crime Wave Holcomb. Kathy Crime Wave Holcomb shoving illegals into the campuses of SUNY. Now, what are they going to do when the students come back in August?
What are they going to do?
And in fact, you can't evict them. 30 days, if you're in one place, you are legally a resident. You have to go to tenant landlord court. Sit, you know what it's like to go to tenant landlord court? My quantum, maybe 2 years. The judge will listen. And actually, he'll be a Democrat, liberal, progressive, and say, why do you want to take the illegal aliens off the campus? Why don't they do sweat equity? Cut the lawn, wash the dishes,
right,
clean the shower stalls out. Let them earn their ability to stay there. What a crazy idea this is.
2 minutes to go. I know you listen to every part of the show right before you. Our mutual friend, the other side of midnight, Frank Morano, was on breaking down all these city council races. You're heavily involved in all of them, as you should be. You're the man in this city. I know of all, maybe you want Kelly Klingman to be Tiffany Caban, but in the next 2 minutes, give me the races that you're involved in and the ones we really need victories in.
To Frank's credit, he indicated I won all those areas in the mayoral campaign as a Republican against Eric Adams. The big race, 13th City Council District. My guy, George Havranek, has been there for like 40 years, community organizer. He was fighting the upzoning. Marjorie Velasquez is un traitor. She stabbed all the neighbors, Democrats and Republicans, in the back. At the last second, she had a sit down with Eric Adams and his staff, and she voted for upzoning against the inches. She could be taken out. George Havranek is the candidate. Look, Mike Rendino is the county chairman, the Republican. He's got his sister there. I've seen it twice. The woman does not know the issue. She might be a very fine lady, a fine mother raising her children. She works in the healthcare industry. But quite frankly, she knows nothing about the issues that affect Morris Park, Van Ness, Throgs Neck. I'm there. We're opening up a Ronald Reagan Club there, Republican Club.
I love it.
On what day? June 14th. Flag Day! On to victory with George Havranek in the Republican primary, June 27th.
All right, that's my guy then. As always, Curtis Sliwa. This is... I may even go five.
Hey,
I may go five.
Yeah, what happened to George Latimer? Hey, Laura Curran, he wants to call up. You don't have to be his Maytag, Laura. Let the guy show some coolions. Let the guy make his own call. You don't have to protect him, Laura. George Latimer, come out to play. I'm coming to Westchester to scout locations in Armonk.
in Larchmont, in Scarsdale, and in Chappaqua for all the illegal aliens that you want, George, as a sanctuary county. I'm coming for you, George. Come out and play.
Oh, straight from the movie The Warriors, which Curtis Sliwa knows too well. That's an amazing segment again. Everybody loves a Curtis Sliwa segment. So do I. Coming up next, a big win for AM Radio, which is big for me and Curtis, the man who owns this station, my dear friend John Katsimatidis. He's coming up before Peter King next.
Sit in Friends in the Morning.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends.
77 WABC.
Oh, God said to Abraham, kill me a son. Abe said, man, you must be putting me on. God said, no. Abe said, what? God said, you can do what you want, Abe, but next time you see me coming, you better run. Well, Abe said, where do you want this killing done? God said, all down Highway 61. Well, Georgia Sam, he had a bloody nose. Well, Fatty Parker, they wouldn't give him no clothes.
Happy birthday, Bob Dylan. 7:32, your hump day Wednesday morning on New York's number one morning talk show. As my friend Judge Janine tells everybody, 7.6 million listeners. Love her. And we got a huge show coming your way. Big guest list. Peter King will be here. We're going to move Peter to the 8 o'clock hour. So we'll do Peter King, Gnomes, Nuggets, and Alan Dershowitz in the 8 o'clock hour. In the 9 o'clock hour, my friend Dr. Nicole Sapphire, Fox News. She's great. And WFAN afternoon host Craig Carton. So we got a big show to come your way. Huge guest list tomorrow. We've got Bill O'Reilly, as he is every Thursday. Trump attorney Alina Haba makes her debut on this program tomorrow. And Joe Tacopina is back on Friday. But a big, big win for AM Radio. And the guy that really did a great job with that is the owner and operator of this station. Of course, he does a great show every weekday afternoon at 5, Katz and Cosby. Tremendous show, 8 a.m. Sunday mornings, Katz Roundtable. Saw him last night at that great book party, John Katsimatidis. So let me start, boss, by saying, on behalf of all of us hosting on AM Radio, thank you very much and congratulations.
Well, congratulations to all of us because it was a combined effort. I mean, nobody believed that Washington or somebody is actually thinking of getting rid of AM radio. AM radio has been a part of our country for 100 years. It's part of our national defense system. You know, WABC radio and a few other stations, in case of emergency, were part of the Department of Defense, cover 97% of the American people. Nothing else covers 97% of the American people. And if you only put electronic radios into these electric vehicles, you know what happens? If the grid goes down, you know what you have? Zero
Nothing.
Communications.
Right.
Nothing.
Right. No, so it's...
Look, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist. Was it another plot to hurt America?
I don't think that's being a conspiracy theorist. I think that's being real. I think that may be the case. And that's why it was so important that you, and I know that the former vice president, Mike Pence, he stepped up. He did a PSA for you, John, in this station. Other voices around town, people like Mark Chernoff, Howard Stern, they all defended AM radio. And you had to do one or two different things, right? You went to Vegas, you went to D.C., you did a bunch of things, right?
Well, me and Chad and Emily and Margo went to Las Vegas. We met with FEMA because the National Defense System now comes under FEMA. And they couldn't understand what was going on. And we met with the FCC. They couldn't understand what was going on because AM radio is part of our whole network of systems.
And
it was just crazy.
Yeah, two guys that were really outspoken about this too, John. I want your opinion on this. Mark Levin, the average one. He's not the great one. He's the average one. And I can say that. And Sean Hannity. And they were saying that part of the reason why AM radio was going away was because most of the conservative talk show hosts in the country, which I'm labeled as, but I'm not. I'm pro-choice. I'm pro-gay, but fine. Most of the conservative talk show hosts are on AM radio, and they felt like it was a war on conservatism. Do you agree with that partially?
That's another aspect. It could be a war against America. It could be a war against conservatism. But there's another aspect to that. You know what the other aspect is? Why should they give you a free radio for $200 in the car where they want to put you through an electronic system and charge you $9.99 every month for the rest of your life?
See, that's why you're so great, John, and this is why you're such an amazing businessman, is that you know everything in life, politics, all the major stories today. You always have to follow the money, always. And no one's talking about that.
Right.
And no one's talking about subscriptions like SiriusXM, but you just nailed it, right, John? That would be a moneymaker for these companies.
Oh, they'd make a ton of money. Are you kidding? They create contracts at $9.99 a month. And guess what? They borrow on the contracts based on your credit.
Wow. So I did know that one of the companies that was really giving AM radio a tough time and pushback was Ford. But I did read yesterday as part of this victory, John, that Ford now says they will put AM radios in the cars, electric cars. So it looks like we got Ford back on our side, yes?
Well, if you remember, WABC took a full-page ad in the New York Post, and the New York Post is the fourth largest newspaper in the country right now. And on my commentary, you know what I said in my commentary? I was addressing the CEO of Ford, Mr. Farley, and I said to him, you don't want to be another Anheuser-Busch. And you know what happened to Anheuser-Busch?
Yeah. Not good.
The prices of the stock dropped $5 billion. So Mr. Farley was probably scratching his head and saying, oh, I don't want Ford stock to drop another $5 billion.
Yeah, you're right. That whole Dylan Mulvaney thing really backfired. A couple of minutes here with John Catsimatidis, Cats and Cosby, Cats Roundtable. A huge victory.
Tell your friend.
Yes.
Tell your friend. What's her name? The weather girl. I forget her name.
Janice.
Whatever her name is.
Yeah.
She should come on with Rita. Rita's a friend for 20 years.
Well, hold on a second.
Why? She refuses to come on with Rita.
Well, what I was told, John, is that she wanted to bring some other parents on or people that lost.
No, it has to be her. She has to have the courage to badmouth Rita, to badmouth me. That come on and talk about it.
Well, let me ask you.
We offer everybody a spectrum to be able to talk to the leadership, talk to people, and you know who else I want on?
Who?
I want that lawyer that advertises with Curtis that Cuomo didn't do anything wrong. I think the American people deserve to find out what is the truth.
Well, what do you think? And be honest here, John, you usually are. That's why people respect and love you like I do. How do you think Andrew Cuomo did yesterday?
I think he's very upset. I don't think I think Rita was pretty tough on him.
Okay, he is upset. So that may not be a fourth show for Andrew Cuomo. I'll talk to her. I'll tell her. I mean, look, if he was going to come on and really be apologetic about some of these things, I think he would have gained a lot of support. I really, really do. But listen, that's up to him. And certainly a lot of folks were listening yesterday, which is great for WABC. And at the end of the day, that's what we do.
We had record numbers yesterday with Rita and the 5 o'clock show. I wasn't able to be at the 5 o'clock show because of another engagement. And we had the party for Jeanine Pirro. And that was a lot of fun.
Oh, that was great.
You talked about it this morning.
Yeah, that was a great party. And you and Margo, of course, and Chad and Emily. But what a star-studded roster, right, John? A bunch of big stars there last night.
You know what life is all about, and I think you know it. And I think you enjoy living in Manhattan. There's something to do every night. There is something to do every night. I have two things to do, or three things to do every night. Last night I had three things to do at night. And you know what? It's part of living.
Yeah.
I mean, Florida is great for 3 days a week, 4 days a week. You go to Florida, you die.
I know. That's why I came back in 2016. I mean, you had dinner with like a bunch of senators last night. I'm afraid to even ask you what you're doing tonight. If I put up John Catsimatidis' daily schedule versus what Bill O'Reilly does every day on his website, Joe Biden's daily schedule, it's not even close, right? You're much busier.
We're a little bit busier. I think tonight we have my friend Nina Rosenwald, who's a great lady. We used to run Bill Clinton's dinners together. She's giving me a book party for my book.
Oh, awesome. Okay, great. Well, your book is doing great, too. You talked about Janine's book last night, but your book is still selling big, right? Big.
Absolutely. You know who's buying the book, Sid? Grandfathers, grandmothers, and fathers, and they're giving and mothers are giving to their kids and grandkids because they want their kids and grandkids to read it, to read about what do you do, how do I succeed in life?
Yeah, and you do know you've done it, and I have to tell you, the book party we did last week with your beautiful daughter, AJ, I love her, was so great. And, you know, you talked about how you made money. You talked about you were so emotional about your mother and father, emotional about Margot. I had a wonderful time that night at Empire Steakhouse. I thought you were great. And I think that book makes a great Father's Day gift, to your point, John, because everybody out there wants to be a success. Why not listen to a man that's actually done it?
Well, you want to know something? It makes a great Father's Day gift.
It does.
You're right.
Yep.
So I'll do an ad like that. See? You give me ideas.
Call our guy right now. We'll get it in the New York Post for Father's Day. Get John's book. John, I love you. Congratulations again on the AM deal.
Shit.
Yes.
And your ratings versus Mark Levin are triple.
John Catsimatidis, I love you, buddy. Thank you so much. Thank you. Take care, buddy. Triple. You hear that? You hear that, the great one? You can triple your ratings, triple, in New York City, and you still don't beat me.
That's right, I said it.
That's the game, buddy. It's not about how many people like to watch you Sunday nights. It's not about how much Sean Hannity likes you. We only care about ratings. That's it. That's the game. Ratings. Some of you folks say ratings isn't everything. No, you're wrong, dummies. Ratings is everything. And you can add up Sean Hannity and Mark Levin, and there's still 2 points behind me. Two.
You talk. We listen. 77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
What you say? Just a friend.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Oi!
Where the press is down, the boss ain't here. He gone north for a while. Say that vanity got the best of him, but his show left here in style. By the way, that's a cute hat, and it smiles so hard to resist. But what's a sweetheart like you doing in a dump like this? You know I want to.
So who's more famous than, like, out of the great state of Minnesota? And I'm not going to include Jesse Ventura or my first cousin Norm Coleman. This voice right here, the great Bob Dylan or Prince. Top one, Lewis.
No, it's not.
Not even top.
No, it's Bob Dylan.
Really?
Well, yeah, if you know he comes from Minnesota.
Well, now you know.
People don't know.
Well, now I'm giving you that information. You're telling me that Dylan is much more popular than Prince.
Well, Bob Dylan is much more influential. He is. Whether you like him or not.
No, I'm just asking. I'm not arguing with you. You're getting very defensive.
No.
What is he, your cousin?
No, because I'm looking at your face. Like, are you kidding?
Well, I mean, a lot of people love Prince, bro. And he did kind of revolutionize music in his own way.
I agree.
Yeah. And he did bang Apollonia. And,
well, so did Bob Dylan.
Oh, Dylan banged her too?
Yes.
Who was the other one too? The Tiffany, what was her name? Oh, she was very, very famous. Prince had them all. He had Sheila E. But the other one, the other famous one. I don't know.
Another.
Dylan didn't bang anybody. Maybe Bruce. That's it.
I don't know. Prince lost the lead when he died, you know?
That's true. He did die. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, but it's not like Dylan has come out with 30 new songs since then.
No, but he's still
We're
alive.
Still playing Blowing in the Wind and Like a Rolling Stone. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
When he goes, you watch all the musicians. It's going to be big.
Well, didn't he win? He won, like, the some award from the president they gave to Bob Dylan, the sure. Medal of Freedom.
I'm sure.
Yep.
And he was like, I'm not going. I don't deserve it.
Probably the same thing they gave to Bruce.
He doesn't like any of that stuff.
Yeah, is he kind of awkward, I guess.
He's a miserable person from
that
what
sucks.
I've heard.
How can he be miserable and be
Yeah, right.
What
he's just, rock and roll?
He's not, right, but that's not how he looks at things. I mean, I'm not going to speak for him because
how do you know him so well?
Well, I know other musicians that have played
Well,
with
you
him,
do that.
That
did,
have played with him.
Did Levon Helm ever play with him?
No, I think, I think they did. They played, because I think he was on The Last Waltz, I think, which is their last concert,
right,
the band.
Right.
But Larry Campbell, who played guitar with Levon, relayed a few things to me about him, about what he was like. Yeah,
it's just funny.
Not a happy,
no, I
happy
know.
Happy
I mean,
person.
I mean, look, who knows better than us? Working you for 30 years, me for 18 years, with a legend like Dylan is to music, Don Imus in radio. And he was a miserable son of a bitch.
What do people ask you a lot when you're like, what was this person like? What was he
right.
like?
What was he really like?
What was he like? Yeah.
You know what I say for Imus? I go, he was worse. Worse. Well, I reached out to Deirdre 2 days ago. I don't know why, but I saw something on Instagram. I follow her for some reason. I don't know why. She hates me. That's fine. But she's an artist. She's an artist, and she has, like, this new painting that she's promoting on Instagram. So I sent her a direct message, and I said, hey, Deirdre, do you realize that the only person in New York radio that ever, ever mentions your dead husband's name is me? And let me tell you, sometimes it's very complimentary. In fact, the last couple of months, I've said time and time again, more people stop me and say, you're the next Imus. You're Imus, you know, young, brash, political, but funny. So what's the problem? Stop listening to Fat Rob Bartlett and other people. That bastard. And I want to bring you on the show and talk about some of the good things. Don did some good things. And she never gets back to me. And her, you know, a doopy kid, Wyatt, he came out. And I like Wyatt, but he came out and he blasted me when his father died, me and Bernard. And I just don't get it. So I know Leslie Slender still speaks to her and a few other people. Their names are on the Instagram page. And if you talk to Deirdre, tell the truth. No one cares about Imus except for me. No one else is talking about him. Stern still brings him up in very negative fashion occasionally. But no one else talks about Imus. Nobody. Greg Kelly doesn't even know who he is. So instead of getting mad at me, how about showing some appreciation? What? Doucheface. Well, that ain't going to help. Yeah, that just hurt it. See, I was doing great up to that point, right? No, I mean, every time.
You got to give her some, sort of introduction. You can't just dive right into being like, hey, by the way, the only one who ever talks about
it. No, but when he died, I sent her a message. I mean, I've been trying to talk to her for years.
Yeah, but like, maybe like a, hey, how are you?
That's what you got to say.
Well, I may have said that. I don't remember. But my exact salutation, I don't remember.
Okay. Well, don't get worked up about
Jesus.
It. It's all right.
Maybe I shouldn't have said doucheface. I don't know.
Yeah, well. You already said it. It's over now.
Cut that part out of the podcast.
Can't do it.
Okay.
Noam, what do you... Well, Noam hated Imus anyway. He was happy he died.
I was.
That's it. We got to go right to break. Quote, he was happy he died. Noam Layden, I was.
You can make a name for yourself. You can hear the entire squeal. You could be known as the most beautiful woman who ever called. The crowds cut glass to make a deal. You know news of you has come down the line even before you came in the door. They say in your father's house there's many mansions, each one of them got a fireproof floor. Snap out of it, baby, people are jealous of you. They smile your face, but behind your back they hiss. What's a sweetheart like you doing in a dump like this? Got to be an important person to be in here, honey. Got to have done some evil deed. Got to have your own helm when you come in the door. Got to play your harp and tell your lips, please.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice. Prior results don't guarantee. Similar outcomes.
77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends.
And I never thought I'd feel this way. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm glad I got the chance to say that I do believe I love you. And if I should ever go away, well then close your eyes and try. Feel the way we do today. And then if you can remember, smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. For sure, that's what friends are for. For good times and bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore. That's what friends are.
Goes out to you, Lewis. I love you so much. And all the folks last night, Judge Jeanine, I love Judge Jeanine. And we had a lot of friends there last night, Judge Jeanine, but of course John and Margot Katsimatidis and Chad and Emily and Sergio Gore. I love that guy. Alina Haba, the Trump attorney, making her debut on this program tomorrow. Kellyanne Conway, two great attorneys representing Daniel Penny, Thomas Knipp, my guy, and Steve Reiser. Monica Crowley, Rachel Yucatel, Dominic Carter, his lovely wife, Dr. Siegel, Geraldo, Ernie Anastas. That's what friends are for. One sad note as I get ready to talk to another dear friend, Peter King. I didn't realize that today, believe it or not, is the one-year commemoration of the Uvalde shootings. It's been a year since that horrendous episode in Texas where that, I don't even know what his name is. Like, I remember Adam Lanza's name, and I remember Nicholas Cruz down in Parkland. I forgot this guy's name, thank God, and who wants to say it anyway? Went into that school in Texas and murdered all those little kids 1 year ago today. And that ended up becoming basically 4 months of demonizing police because they did a lousy job out there. They did. They're human. They were scared, and they did a bad job. They did, but that's all we did. You see, yell at Lydia almost every day. Stop talking about the cops. I get it. They screwed up. While they screwed up, some cop right now is saving somebody's life in Bed-Stuy, you know. But it has been a year, so our hearts and prayers go out to all the families that I'm sure are still suffering. My next guest, that's what friends are for, Congressman, Homeland Security, dear friend of the Rosenbergs. He was supposed to be on at 8:40. Then Justin moved him to 7:40, and now he's on at 8:09.
He's very I get the blame? Why do I get the blame?
Why not?
Oh, okay.
That's your job.
I'll take it.
Peter King. Pete, what's going on, big guy?
Well, actually, I'm getting ready to talk to Len Berman, and then I'm going over to New York One. I just treat like a bouncing ball. And by the way, Justin says that, listen, you're a Jewish guy, you make believe you're Italian, and you say, screw the Irish.
That's so true.
I mean, this is it. I get bounced around. Like,
he's right.
No respect. No respect.
He's
at
right.
All.
He's right. All that happens to be true.
And Justin, by the way, was so mad at what you made him do, he was threatening to quit. I told him to hang on. He'd rather work for Imus.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know about that. But listen, if you go over to Len Berman, you may be able to attract a listener or two. He could use the help, trust me.
I would triple his ratings.
Yeah, from one to three. He's listen, Len's fine, Mike's fine. I don't need to talk about the competition. We know the real deal. But Pete, that was funny. You'll do MSNBC, but it better be with Errol Lewis. That's my friend, right?
That Then New York won all of them. Anyone, I thought you were my friend. Now I get bounced around.
You know, no, you might.
Me in the corner somewhere.
No, but that's why we're great friends, because you don't bitch and complain. You're so easy. You're like, I love Sid, whatever. I'll do whatever it takes. And let me tell you, Pete, all kidding aside, people look forward to you coming on Wednesdays. It's a big deal because you and I discuss a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff. And we'll start here. I did just say that we are commemorating 1 year since the Uvalde mass shooting. Feels like it wasn't a year ago. Feels shorter. But anyway, that was one of the more tragic days and events in the history of this country, yes?
No, it was absolutely horrific. It was tragic. You know, it happened to those kids and those families and what they went through. It's impossible to even imagine it. But also, you know, you mentioned about the cops. Okay, the cops down there obviously did not do their job. But all over the country, everywhere else, that's the type of thing they do every day. I mean, you know, we don't even think about it in New York. If there's something like that going on, if there's some crisis, the cops go in. The firefighters go in. Same in Chicago. I mean, Philadelphia. The cops, 99% do a phenomenal job. And you're right. Too many people used that last year, what those cops did down there. And let's face it, it's a small town. They weren't ready for this. But this is what goes on. I mean, every day, the NYPD, Nassau County cops, Suffolk County cops, state troopers, they are constantly drilling for events like this. So they know exactly what to do when, God forbid, something like this does happen. And also, they're able to prevent things from happening. They're able to move quickly. And they do it despite the fact that getting nowhere near the support and coverage they should be getting from the mainstream media and the progressive politicians and the New York Times and those other rags that are out there.
You know, I did see your friend, the Commissioner Shule, again on Sunday. I've seen her twice now in the last month down by Battery Park, Pete, because about a month ago they unveiled 77 more names, police officers that have died in the line of duty on that beautiful memorial wall right downstairs from my apartment. And then she was there again this Sunday because my buddy Tom Biggers ran the annual NYPD Running Club 5K run. She was there, Pat Lynch. I got to tell you, man, she is so sweet and so nice. I know you were touting her even before Mayor Eric Adams picked her to be the commissioner. I love that lady. I think she's great.
And she's a great lady, great person, and a great cop. She's a cop's cop. She did it all. She was a street cop. She was a detective. She was undercover. I first met her when she was heading the gang unit in Nassau County. And she's great. She really is. She and Melissa worked together in the 5th Precinct, which is a tough precinct in Nassau County. She's a... Again, a cop's cop, and you know, she's such a great public speaker.
Yes.
It's all from the heart. She writes all those speeches herself. She's a totally dedicated cop, and I just wish she was able to be out front more often, because the more people see her, the more they realize what a prize they have there.
You know, you say more out front more often, and I get that, too, from people who like her. They go, listen, I agree, Sid, I love her, but she's not really allowed to do her job. People feel like the mayor, Eric Adams, kind of serves as a commissioner. He's got another guy. Is it Banks? I forget his name.
Yeah, Phil Banks.
Yes. And people say, I agree with you, Sid, but we don't see enough of her. And you kind of just said the same thing.
Yeah, again, I'm not aware of all that's going on in the inner circles there. But the fact is that I just think that if you want someone to be the face of the police department and also to really know what's going on, Keyshawn is the one. I mean, if you go on social media, the cops love her. And it's not that awful. My father's a cop for 30 years, and cops love to be, be critical of the commissioner. That's always part of the deal. You criticize the boss. They love her. They love Keyshawn because they know that she's out there fighting for them. She's visited almost all the precincts in the city. She's there. She works hard. Anyway, she's a real great resource we have. And but again, it is different, I guess, when you have a mayor.
Yeah.
Who was a cop for over 20 years. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not questioning who's doing what. All I know is that I think the more people would see her, the more confidence they have in how great she really is.
And you did mention Nassau County, so she's one of yours. And I know you heard yesterday I had the Nassau County executive, Bruce Blakeman, on late in the show yesterday, very late. In fact, the same time Craig Carton is coming on today at 9:40. And he talked about this casino, 17-1 bipartisan vote in favor of building a Vegas Sands at the Nassau Coliseum, a lease that you signed many years ago before the Islanders started playing hockey there. Now they got to get the town and the state. I get that. But he seems to think they're well on their way to building this huge casino in Nassau County. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, listen, it is important for the county. I have a bit of a conflict of interest here because my daughter is an attorney for someone who's sort of competition there. But that's another story. No, listen.
Aaron is an attorney for somebody else there?
Yeah, well, no, what it is, she's an attorney for someone who has a lease there now.
Gotcha, gotcha, okay.
Indoor lacrosse team, and if the Coliseum goes down, you know, they're out of work. So anyway, that's that. But, again, now, Bruce is a good friend. And what he's shown here is this really took leadership. I think if you had asked people 6 months ago, 8 months ago, would this happen, they never would have thought it would have gotten this far. I mean, Bruce has really gotten it out there. And also, with all the partisan politics around, he had a 17-1 vote. And the county legislature, that really says something. So I give Bruce credit for staying on the job and for getting what he wants done, getting it done. And he's been an excellent county executive. Now, we've been lucky. Laura Curran was a very good Democratic county executive. Bruce is an excellent county executive. And to me, we have a lot to be proud of in Nassau County. And we had Keyshawn Sewell going to the NYPD. And we have Pat Ryder, who's a great police commissioner. So, and Donnelly, we're in great shape here in Nassau County.
No, I agree. And I didn't realize my buddy Tom Biggers, who runs that NYPD running club, he actually drives Ann Donnelly. He told Danielle that. Danielle's actually going to run the New York City Marathon this year. She's done 40. You know her marathon history. It's incredibly impressive. But she was ready to kind of retire. And Biggers talked her into running New York this year for the police department. How about that?
Say, I have a tough time running around the block. I don't know how these people do it. I don't know how she does that. Well, I put it this way. I guess she would do anything to get away from you, kid. I don't know. That's all I can think of, you know?
That's right. She became a great runner running away from me. Excellent job. You're right about that. Hey, let me ask you about, I'll go back to the mayor for a second. We talked about the police commissioner, but, there's a lot going on here. And sometimes the mayor gets blamed for stuff that's not his fault. And by the way, much like a football coach or baseball manager, sometimes the mayor gets credit for stuff that he doesn't necessarily do.
Right.
This migrant crisis, what would you give Eric Adams? What grade overall?
Overall, I'd say a C-.
It's not a great grade.
No, it's not. It's not. I think he really was wrong at the start by saying he was going to welcome them all, have people at the Port Authority, He's like proud of the fact he's going to build this in Central Park. He's going to do everything else, not realizing there's no end to this. It's not like we're taking in 5,000 people or 6,000 people. This is going to be endless. I think what he did was he opened the door and he went out of his way to say how welcoming New York would be, not realizing the consequences. Having said that, then he realized what was happening. I give him credit for taking on Biden, for taking on the governor, and for realizing that, New York can't do this. But I also agree with what Lee Zeldin said. This isn't just money. I don't care if they give us $1 trillion. The fact is, New York City is not in a position to handle 40, 50, 60,000 people coming in. Let's face it. Just let's say 6 months ago, before this started, we were wondering, can New York come back from COVID? Can New York come back with all the crime going on? And it was a struggle just to survive there. Now, on top of that, we have 40, 50, 60,000 people coming in. And again, I'm sure most of these people are good people, but we can't take everybody in the world. We have to do it in an organized way. Otherwise, we're not being fair to them. We're not being fair to the people living here now. And it's just it's a mess. So I think the mayor made some big mistakes up front. He's trying to – I give him credit. People say he should be doing more in fighting the Democrats. I wish he would too. But you have to understand the peer pressure you're under. I mean, he's got to somehow try to stay close to the Democrats, but also be an independent voice. And so, listen, I don't know who else the Democratic Party, could even come close to him right now. So I think what you're doing by sort of prodding him along, give him credit when you think he's doing the right thing, but don't give up on him when he does something that, you and I might disagree with.
Right. That's exactly what I'm doing. You nailed it, Pete. In fact, I think he's set to join me coming up on Friday. I spoke to Fabian Levy, who, of course, put Lou Molina on the show yesterday, the commissioner of the Department of Corrections. I did just find out, though, that they are sending 3,000 illegals to Manhasset at 10 o'clock this morning. So be ready, okay?
Okay. Well, I tell you, now you're always starting trouble. You and Curtis.
Hey, Curtis has been pretty solid up to this point. He really has. So one more for you, Pete King. Today it's official. Elon Musk and Ron DeSantis. And look, you're a Trump guy. You were friendly with Trump. Still are, I guess. But you say, look, I love his policies, but too much drama, too much chaos. And I think that means you like DeSantis. I don't even know. But DeSantis officially jumping in today, I don't think it matters. I think Trump is still going to kill him, even with all the legal issues out there. What do you think?
First of all, next year is a long way off. I was with Rudy Giuliani when he was 20 or 30 points ahead back in 2007, 2008. John McCain didn't even have enough money to fly around the country. He was carrying his bags around the airport. Nobody thought he had a chance. He ended up winning. Primaries have, a funny life of their own. So it's still a long way off. Right now, there's no doubt Donald Trump is ahead. But it's going to be a question of all these indictments. And I think most of them are unfair. But it's a question of do people – not they're going to hold it against Trump. They're going to say, can he really be president fighting off all this? Can he really get the job done? How much of these are self-inflicted wounds that, you know, didn't have to happen? But, I know DeSantis. I'm not sure. I think I said this year months ago. I don't know if he's ready for prime time. Now, he may be, and he may show that he can. But up till now, he's not shown himself to be an effective national candidate as he was a very effective candidate in Florida. Florida is a big state. It's an important state. And he's doing an excellent job as governor, and he was able to sell his message politically. So far, he's not been able to do that. I think he's got to develop more of a personality. But having said that, he's a very smart guy. Harvard, Yale, captain of the baseball team, an officer in the Navy, overseas in Iraq, all of that. And again, he's smart. He's a hard worker, but he's got to, I think, generate more. Whatever it is that Donald Trump has, people know right away they love him or they like him. I don't know if DeSantis can generate that type of love that Donald Trump does.
You can't. You're born with that. Donald Trump was born with a tremendous amount of charisma. You may hate his guts. I don't care. He's got charisma. DeSantis has none. And yet, Nikki Haley still out there this morning crushing Ron DeSantis in her new TV ad saying all he is an echo of Trump. Our mutual friend, Anthony Carone, I like him a lot. He sends his regards to you, Pete. He says Pete King is the best, and you are. Another amazing segment. That was a 15-minute segment and went in like 3 minutes. So thank you so much. I love you, pal.
I'm so mad at you for bouncing around like a rubber ball.
No, you're not mad. You know. No. In fact, next week, we're not going to move the time. We're going to move the day. Next week, you're going to be on Saturday at 10, and I'm off that day.
Oh. And I'm in Temple that day.
I'm in Temple.
Good job, us.
Pete, I love you. Thank you. Great job. Great job.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
Peter King's the best. He really is. He's got a great sense of humor. You know? How many guys come on the show that are former politicians that make you laugh? Like none. Peter King. He is the king. F. LeBron or Henrik Lundqvist or even Charles. The king is Peter King. And yes, this goes out to you, Peter. That's what friends are for.
Entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC. Friends.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine. Do the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you. People call, say beware, doll, you're bound to fall. You thought they were all kidding you. You used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. Now you don't talk so loud. Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging your next meal. How does it feel? How does it feel to be without a home? Like a complete unknown. Like a rock.
Music royalty right here. Happy birthday to Robert Zimmerman, a.k.a. Bob Dylan. This one, like a Rolling Stone, usually up there on that list that the Q Dogs or K Rock used to do at the end of the year. Stairway to Heaven, Freebird.
Number four, number three.
Hey Jude.
Number six.
Yeah, right there, yeah. You do love this song, no?
Yeah, it's all right.
Because it's been played a lot, that's why you say that, right?
That could be the case.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Jen Harrison. Governor Cuomo said he had judicial discretion in his bail reform, and they changed it. Lies! Rita let him lie and lie and lie. Well, Rita did the best she could. What do you want? Come on. That's not a fair fight. Andrew Cuomo's a big bully. And I would have kicked his ass. He didn't do it with me. That's fine. You know, because I wouldn't listen to anybody else. No one is ever going to tell me what to do, what to say. And not to do that with Rita, but he had an opportunity to go on with me, and he didn't do it. So he did it with Cindy Adams, John, and Rita. And trust me, I think Rita did, what she could do. But I wouldn't have spent personally 15 minutes on the woman touching thing because like I always say, that was the taxes to Al Capone. You know, I'm not even sure what he did there. You know, I'm a touchy-feely guy myself. I tend to touch a shoulder or kiss a cheek. To me, that was the least of what this man did.
Man,
it's a waste of time to even bring that up in the first place.
I'd own your house by now if that were
the case. Yeah, forget about it. Right, exactly.
What Sid's done to me.
Yeah, cheek toucher.
Okay.
Cheek toucher.
Yeah, I mean, I touched your ass yesterday, you and Curtis.
Well, I mean, listen.
Not with the same sex, I understand that, but.
Right.
And I'm not minimizing or, you know, when it comes to what men do to women, it is gross. And it still is gross, even after the Me Too movement. Believe me when I tell you, my wife is gorgeous. She got still to this day. I mean, she can't walk into a courtroom, onto a train.
No, forget it.
That's disgusting. No. Men are gross. Yeah. I get it. But
animals.
Come on. You get Cuomo on, you pound him on two things. We only care about two things. Nursing homes, 18,000 dead, and crime, bail reform. That's it. That's it. So, it wasn't a no-holds-barred, serious. It was none of that. Because on the serious stuff, he ran over her. Not her fault, but he ran over her. You know. She had a couple of opportunities to call him a liar. She didn't do it. When he mentioned Jordan Neely and he mentioned George Floyd, talked about mentally ill people, we'd have had a chance right there to kill him and say, well, listen, Mr. Governor, you closed the mental hospitals. She didn't do it.
You put it in a great way. I forget which guest it was. And you said, all the things he's complaining about and the things that he's now railing about, he was the architect of.
Yeah, Andrew Cuomo. Exactly right. Yeah. All the things that he yells, he's got all the answers now. Well, of course he did. He's the one who built it. You know? You want to figure out how to knock down the World Trade Center? Go talk to the architect.
Yeah. He's the Frank Lloyd Wright.
There you go. That is brilliant.
The
Wright brothers.
I'm riding behind. Yeah, they got us to the moon, I think, right?
Yeah, something like that.
I think so.
Noam, what did you think of the Cuomo interview yesterday?
I thought Rita did an okay job.
Yeah, okay, right. That's not a great ringing endorsement, by the way.
It's
okay.
Not going to go on the marquee for Noam Layden.
Yeah.
Layden says, did an okay job.
Now, the problem is, you know, it's hard to interview him because he's always going to get the better of you unless I do it. And he won't do it with me. So,
did you hear that comment right at the end where he finally was? You could see hear his frustration during some of the interview, but at the end, she asked him about what his future plans were, and he said, "I want to someday be like Rita Cosby and have a show where I ask really mean questions."
Yeah. No, he's pissed. I mean, if you wanted to piss the governor off, Rita got an A for that because she did piss him off. He thought he was walking into a very friendly atmosphere. And she did go at him pretty hard those first 20 minutes, again, on a topic that nobody cares about. Nobody. But she did do that, and that pissed him off. So if the idea was to piss off the governor, then she did okay, because he is pissed. Me, I wanted answers on real issues, and I didn't get any. And he would have been really pissed at me. Really pissed. But it's okay. I don't think there'll be a fourth try. I really don't. And I don't think I'd do anything to enhance my chances of doing it. Now, do I? Kind of like calling Deirdre Imus douche face.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
Not going to help.
That'd be a nice private message. Yeah. Hey, just wondering how you doing, douchebags.
No, we got like 3 minutes. Let's go.
Wild scene at Caravaggio, the Upper East Side Italian eatery. So do you remember Andrew Stein? He was famous back in the 80s and 90s. He was the Manhattan Borough president for a
while.
He's
actually going to be on with Frank Morano later on tonight.
Well, he's the city council president. As well during those years. So he's at this Upper East Side Italian eatery, and he chomps into some veal, and here's what happens.
But I decided I'll be a little wild and I'll go for the veal chop. So I did, and I took a huge bite, and when it got stuck in my throat, and literally, I was gasping. I couldn't breathe for like 3 minutes, and everybody panicked. And I think the whole restaurant was watching.
Yeah, so he tells Frank Morano, you will not believe who came to the rescue with the Heimlich maneuver.
Well, Woody Allen sprung into action and did the Heimlich maneuver
on me.
And probably saved my life, you know.
Wow.
So awesome. He really moved quickly. And, you know, my throat is real. I went to the doctor today. My throat is very red and sore.
Sure.
But no more veal chops.
No more. So it turns out that even after banging his daughter, Woody Allen is not a bad guy after all.
Well, so you know who was also, you know who was also at the table? Alan Dershowitz. No, Alan Dershowitz was there.
Oh, he's coming up next.
Yeah, you can ask him about this. He was at the table.
Give me
that.
Who else now?
It was Alan Dershowitz and his wife.
And
Sunyi Previn, Woody Allen's wife.
And daughter.
And, yeah.
Kind of weird, I know. I'm just telling you. Yeah.
And, of course, Andrew Stein, who is alive. And, by the way, it's not the first time that Woody Allen has saved someone's life. Back in 1992, he was also in a restaurant with a Saturday Night Live producer who also started choking, this time on a piece of bread at a Second Avenue restaurant. Yeah. And he did the Heimlich maneuver on that guy, saved his life. So two lives Woody Allen has saved, the latest Andrew Stein last week at this restaurant.
Oh,
on
this
the
was
Empire
just
Side.
Last week?
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah. So you have to ask Alan about it.
I'm going
to
ask him right away.
Alan apparently looked on in horror, you know, as they were trying to figure out what to do to help this guy.
Right.
I could come over right now. I don't even know how to do this. Sometimes I could do it, but sometimes I don't. I wish I... Hold on a second. Let me grab your stomach. A little bit. This worked on a movie set. I don't want you to die while I'm eating.
That's I think the whole relationship with Sue Nee started when she was on the floor choking on something.
Yeah, choking.
Let me do this to you. Well, thank you for that.
My daughter. That's great. I love that. Oh, yeah.
That's a great story. Once again, Noam Layden. Your nuggets are great, man.
By the way, I have to say I love the moment I heard, this is all Frank's interview that I pulled that sound from that Frank did overnight.
Yeah.
But Frank, he asked them a question about, choking on the veal. And then the next question Frank's asked, he goes, I know I'm not Jewish, but are you supposed to be eating veal?
Yeah, veal?
It's because Andrew Stein is Jewish.
I know, but it's not pig. It's not bacon.
Yeah. It's like, what kind of question is that? It's such a bizarre question.
Now, it is, because he may be the smartest. He's right there, one of the smartest guys I know.
Yeah.
And that's a very dumb question.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name? Bob Stein, right?
No, Andrew Stein.
Andrew Stein. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll remember because of the Cuomo. That's right, the governor. We're going to talk to the mentioned Alan Dershowitz coming up next. Great defense attorney. Also, Dr. Nicole Sapphire and WFAN star Craig Carton going to stop by this morning as well.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
Of a wave, it's like magic. Oh,
great song, ELO, Jeff Lynne. Lynne, of course, part of that Traveling Wilbury band that we mentioned earlier with Roy Orbison and Tom Petty and Bob Dylan. Today happens to be Bob Dylan's birthday, the great Bob Dylan. He's a Brooklyn boy, like my next guest, who one of these days is going to write a book about Brooklyn and include great Brooklyn people like me, like Bob Dylan, and maybe Woody Allen, too. He is the brilliant constitutional attorney. I love this guy. Really do. Alan Dershowitz. Now, before we start talking, Alan, about all these law cases, I was just told a story that you were out for dinner not that long ago with Andrew Stein and Woody Allen, and Woody Allen literally saved somebody's life performing the Heimlich maneuver right there in front of you. Can you confirm or deny?
I can confirm it. I was there with Bret Stephens and with Woody Allen and his wife, and suddenly Andy, he had a piece of pork, and God said, Andy, you shouldn't be eating pork. And it got stuck in his throat, and immediately Woody started putting his arm around him and doing Heimlich. I ran through the restaurant screaming, we need a doctor, we need a doctor. Finally, two doctors came. They were eating outside, and by that time, the food had dislodged. And, you know, Woody was a hero, and Andy was very, very thankful. And I don't think that Andy's eating pork anymore.
No, I don't think so. That's funny.
He's going back to fish. He's going back to fish.
That's funny. Now, my friend Noam Layden, who does the news, Alan, at this station, tells me that was not the first time. Noam, talk to Alan quickly. And that's not the first time Woody Allen saved somebody's life.
It's the third time, actually. He told me after that happened that actually, it occurred with Robert Kennedy's wife at one point early in his life, Ethel Kennedy, and then somebody else. So, you know, Woody is a Heimlich guy.
Alan,
he knows how to do it. And if you're ever worried about having dinner with somebody and you're choking, have dinner with Woody Allen. I'm just going to call for doctors. That's okay. But he did the thing. He was sitting right next, to his credit, he was sitting right next to Andy. I was way on the other end of the table, so I couldn't have done the Heimlich. I've done the Heimlich only once, but it turned out to be a false alarm. The guy was just choking on his own, spit that he didn't have anything in his throat. But Woody was a real hero, and Woody's an interesting character from Brooklyn. You know, you talk about Brooklyn, I have a Trivial Pursuit question. So I grew up on a block, 48th Street. On my block, there lived Sandy Koufax,
wow,
Jackie Mason, Elliot Gould, and
wow,
me. And wait a minute. So they recently named the block after the most famous person who ever lived on the block. Guess who they named it after?
It's between you, Gould, Jackie Mason, and Sandy Koufax, between the four of you?
I left out the other guy. The guy they named it after was the Babava Rebbe, the Hasidic Rebbe, who lives on the corner and has a big synagogue. And now the street that we all grew up on is not called 48th Street. It's called Babav Boulevard.
Oh, wow.
In honor of the Babava Rebbe.
Great. That is great.
It was a great block.
That is a great block.
Hey, Alan, can I?
My mother used to say to me, stay away from that Michigan of Jackie Mason. Stay away from
it. Alan, can I take you back to the dinner table for a second? Because there's a big controversy here. You're saying that Andrew Stein was eating pork, but Andrew Stein was very adamant last night that he was not eating pork, that he was having veal. So can you confirm that?
I can't confirm it. I didn't taste what he was eating. It was trafe, no matter what it was trafe. And you don't fool around with God when you're eating in front of lots of people. So I think Andy said in an interview that he usually gets fish, but this time he decided to order me.
That is funny.
So I can't certify the kashrut or lack thereof of anything that Andy ate, except to confirm that something got stuck in his throat.
Brilliant.
And we were all very nervous.
Of course.
Obviously, Woody immediately jumped into action. And, you know, people forget about Woody. He was a great athlete as a kid. He looks like a little wimpy guy, but he was a ball player as a kid. Woody and I have compared notes. You know, I played in Madison Square Garden. I guarded a kid named Ralphie Lipschitz, named Ralph Lauren now. I played for Brooklyn Comedical Academy. I was basically a sub. And Ralphie Lipschitz played for Manhattan Comedical Academy. So I wasn't a bad ball player either.
Oh, I heard all that. I know you love talking about this, and I love hearing you talk about this, Alan Dershowitz, a Brooklyn boy myself, and the old memories. And again, that is an amazing block, 48th Street. Wow. But there is, we needed to get to some of these legal stories. I was actually on a television network with you the exact time that the jury came back with a verdict on the E. Jean Carroll versus Donald Trump case. And we know, of course, that they wanted rape. That's all she wanted. She didn't get it. So they gave him the second charge on the list and some trumped up all these fines. And you would think, Alan, that a woman like that who went through such pain and torture all these years would be happy to put this behind her. But no, she hears Donald Trump call her a whack job on CNN, and now she wants more money. What does that tell you?
Well, you know, first of all, she's opening herself up to a counter lawsuit because she has said publicly that she was raped by Donald Trump, and the jury found against her on that. She was very specific as to the nature of the rape and everything. She didn't say, I was just assaulted. She was very clear about the rape, and if the jury found she didn't, under her theory, which I think is wrong, under her theory, Donald Trump could probably try to countersue her on a false charge of rape. Look, I think any American has the right to defend himself against an accusation. I did that when I was falsely accused. I defended myself, and ultimately the woman admitted after 8 years that she may have mistaken me for somebody else, a case of false identification, maybe. So you do have a right to defend yourself, and she's piling on, and she may come to regret it, although, you know, the judiciary in New York and the juries in New York are not particularly fair to Donald Trump. They voted against him, what, 87% of the vote. So it's very hard for him to get a fair trial in Manhattan.
And then the hush money trial came about again yesterday. You know, here's Joe Tacopina preparing, and now they say, you know, we're going to put the trial on next March, right in the middle of primary season. So whether you like him or not, the president trying to gain that office back, and he really can't talk about this, he can't talk about that, he can't talk about this. Even that seemed like a very political decide yesterday to me, Alan.
Yeah, he ought to be able to speak about anything except material that's sealed. Any material that's sealed, and that would mean sealed from you and me, the press, that remains secret, although that's subject to challenge. But anything else that ultimately will be made public, he should have a right to talk about. He should have the right to defend himself in the court of public opinion, because that's where he's being tried. If you're being tried in the middle of the Republican primaries, and DeSantis is about to announce today that he's joining the Republican group running against him, he's having apparently an event with Elon Musk, who I've also written about recently, because, you know, Elon Musk was falsely accused of being anti-Semitic, because he told the truth about George Soros, that George Soros is a super villain and done so much harm for America, for Israel, for the Jewish community, that Elon Musk was right to call him a super villain. But, you know, lots of people in the news these days, and courts shouldn't be imposing restrictions on what a candidate for a president can say about charges against him. Every American should have the right to defend himself in the court of public opinion against charges that he believes are false.
I agree, and Donald Trump said all that on his social media platform last night, of course, Truth Social. So if you were Joe Tacopina or any one of his attorneys in this case, and Alina Habba will join me for the first time tomorrow, what can you do about it? Anything?
Well, you can. The question is, do you want to? He is permitted to speak under the court's order about a great many things, and maybe they're satisfied and don't want to rock the boat, because if you take a case to the Court of Appeals, you take a chance, maybe they'll impose an even harsher gag order. So I don't know whether they're going to appeal or not. I think the focus really has to be on the case itself. The weakest indictment I have seen in 60 years of practicing law, and I've seen it all. I've seen it all over the world. I've defended cases not only in the United States, but in multiple countries. I have never seen an indictment as weak and as questionable as the one that Alfred Bragg issued, or the grand jury issued, against Donald Trump in the case involving the hush money. Never seen anything.
That is a big statement coming from you, the great Alan Dershowitz. So last night, I went down to Judge Jeanine's books party. She had a book party. I love her. And in attendance were two gentlemen you know, Thomas Knipp and his partner Stephen Reiser. They're still waiting for a verdict for their client Daniel Penny on the Jordan Neely situation. What do you think happens with that, the grand jury? What's going to happen in this Penny trial?
Well, I think more information is coming out. We've had more witnesses come forward. Look, he did absolutely the right thing by intervening and trying to stop this guy who had a previous record, which he didn't know about, but a previous record of almost killing somebody with his bare hands. He did the right thing by jumping in. Did he do the right thing by holding the person around the neck for such a long period of time? That's a question that will have to be resolved by the jury. He has put together a good defense team, raised a lot of money in his defense, and I don't think we'll see a conviction in that case. If you get subway riders sitting on the jury, they're going to say, I wish there were more people who would intervene. You know, when I was about 20 years old, I came home for the Jewish holidays from law school, and my mother always gave me food to take home. She gave me a frozen tongue. I had the frozen tongue. And on the Canal Street station, somebody tried to mug me and steal my briefcase. And I hit him with the tongue, and he ran away. And my mother was the hero. You know, people kidded me. Oh, your mother gives you a tongue. Yeah, but tongues can do more than just be good food. They're weapons. And so I used the tongue as a weapon on Canal Street.
That is hilarious. So on the way out, Alan, all this this Penny stuff didn't stop Al Sharpton. I don't know what you feel about Al. I don't like him. Back to the Tawana Brawley days, he's, as far as I'm concerned, a race baiter, a divider. He's a thief. He takes people's money every day for nonsense. Never went to Chicago once. Little black kids are getting murdered by black people, by the way, in Chicago every day. He couldn't care less. And he turned this funeral for Neely on Friday, his eulogy, into one big race hate. Oh, time and time again that Neely was black and, of course, Daniel Penny white. What are your thoughts on all that?
If the racial situation had been reversed, if there had been a black former Marine who had accidentally caused the death of a white crazy subway person, we would have seen everything different. We would have seen AOC try to defend the black killer, probably Sharpton, too. Look, you got to give Sharpton some credit. He recently got together with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach to condemn the Palestinians' pay-for-slay notion, saying he would do something about that. Yes. So I've always had mixed feelings about Sharpton. Hard to forgive him for the Tawana Brawley fraud, but thankfully he's turned around a little bit on some of the Israeli issues.
Okay. One person I don't have mixed feelings about is, Alan, is you. You're great. I really, every time you come on, I'm honored. I mean it, Alan. You're just a super guy, great attorney, sweet man. You are Mr. Brooklyn as far as I'm concerned. And please keep coming back and stay safe. I love you, pal. Thank you.
I enjoy being on your show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. The great attorney, Alan Dershowitz, always does a terrific job on this show. Really does. He's a super, super guy. And more attorneys are going to stop by this week again. Trump attorney Alina Hava, she said, don't hate me because I'm pretty. She's going to join us tomorrow. And Joseph Tacopina back from Europe, back on the show on Friday. Fourth and final hour coming up, going to be a good one. Dr. Nicole Sapphire, Fox News. She's terrific. She'll join us next. And WFAN afternoon superstar Craig Carton. He's got a big softball game coming up, which I'm taking a part in, on Staten Island. He's going to join us, too. Fourth and final hour of New York's number one morning news talk show. That's me. Coming back.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Sit in Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
John is in the basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat, batch out, laid off, says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. Took out a kid, it's something you did. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway looking for a new friend. The man in a coonskin cap in a pig pen wants $11 bills. You only got 10.
How old is Dylan today again? 73?
He's 82.
Oh, wow. Bob Dylan, 82. Happy birthday to one of the all-time greats. I love this song, Bob Dylan. So, you know, my daughter Ava hasn't been feeling well. I spent 5 hours in the hospital with her yesterday, and Danielle was there last night. And she's got some type of bacterial infection. They don't even know what it is. This is really frustrating. Got these big-time doctors led by Dr. Mark Siegel at NYU. They don't even know what it is. But they pumped her with a whole bunch of antibiotics. She actually stayed overnight last night. I'll get there this afternoon again. She's basically been sick since she's been home from college for like 3 weeks. So I said to Danielle, I said, we got to call Dr. Nicole Sapphire. She's not just a TV star and lovely and all that stuff. She's a great doctor. And Danielle spent time on the phone with Nicole. Nicole had some great suggestions. I mean, great. And I think Nicole may have very well nailed what's going on, but we still can't seem to get anything official from the doctors. So here she is, star from Fox News, great author, Make America Healthy Again, and a tremendous doctor, and my friend, most of all, Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Dr. Nick, how are you?
Hey, Sid. So happy to be on with you, but so sorry to hear that you're still dealing with it all.
And we don't know. I mean, there was a doctor yesterday from the infectious disease. Because she's got, you know, these things on her ear and all that. And it didn't matter. They still don't have they haven't been able to figure out exactly what it is. And that's, you know, that's for a parent, that's very frustrating. Very.
Yeah, well, it's scary. You know, the unknown is terrifying. And as parents, we like to be in control. And when, you know, you actually have to relinquish control in these circumstances, and it's really hard to do.
But in the meantime, while she stayed overnight because, as of course you know, IV antibiotics are much stronger than a pill or even an injection. No matter what she has, the antibiotics in this case make sense because she's uncomfortable, yes? And there's an infection there somewhere.
Possibly. You know, they believe there's an infection. There are things that can mimic an infection. And also, you know, if it's a viral infection, their antibiotics aren't going to do anything for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of my concerns is that is it a, you know, a post-infection inflammatory response. So, listen, are being on antibiotics a bad thing? You know, probably not because we don't know what's going on. You know, when we don't know what's going on, just think of early COVID. We're just like, all right, we're just going to throw a sink at you because we don't really know what to do.
Right.
So that makes sense, you know. But hopefully, you know, if they rule out a bacterial infection, they'll roll back those antibiotics because, as you know, there's a lot of overutilization of antibiotics, which is why we have antibiotic resistance.
That's true. Well, thank you for speaking with me and Danielle. She loved talking to you. And thank you for texting us and asking. We really appreciate it, Nicole. So thank you. Now, my front, I don't know what the hell's going on with me. I must have maybe a herniated disc or I've got some issue because now I've made an appointment at the hospital for special surgery in July because I can't get out of bed with my knees hurting me, my feet and hands. They've been going numb for the better part of 6 months now. And I'm having all kinds of issues walking up and down stairs. And you know me, Nicole, I'm in great shape. I work out. I got a body like an Adonis. I can't walk. So now I've got my own issues coming up.
As Adonis-like as you may be, we all are getting older. Let's keep that in mind. But it does certainly sound like you have something going on with your spine. As you know, my husband, being a neurosurgeon, that's his area of expertise. But it sounds like first things first, you need an MRI from the top down, cervical down to the lumbar spine. I mean, unfortunately, those disc herniations, especially when you're active and you've been an athlete like yourself, I mean, those tend to come later in life. And fortunately, there's a lot of things we can do other than surgery to try and decrease that inflammation. Obviously, we want to hold off on surgery as long as possible, but sometimes surgery really can just be curative.
Oh, God, no. I want to go see your husband. Can I go see him? I'm serious. I mean, he's the best in the business, and this is going on for about 2 months, and I don't want to get surgery. You know, and I'm all for, you know, the, what do you call those places, you know, the therapy. What do you call that?
Physical therapy.
Yes.
Physical therapy and non-steroidal anti-inflammatories are wonderful for that kind of stuff. But sometimes you really do need surgery. So you get the MRI, you bring me the MRI, I look at the MRI, and I'll tell you what I think, and then we'll go from there.
All right. So I'm going to do that sooner than later because I need to get them. I'm really – I can't sleep at night. Now what's happened is the pain is basically starting – by my butt on the right side, right down to my ankle, all night long. I got to keep changing sleeping positions because I'm in awful pain. So that's the end of the Rosenbergs, Ava and Sydney. Now we'll get to some of the stuff out there that society is dealing with. And I read something yesterday, Nicole, that the CDC is warning of a monkeypox resurgence. Is that true?
Well, monkeypox never went away. Just like a lot of these infectious diseases, we learned to live with them. And while they kind of go dormant in certain times of year, especially when the weather gets warmer and you have a lot of people gathering, especially when monkeypox tends to be has a higher prevalence in homosexual individuals, you're entering Pride Month. And just like last year, we saw a large amount of cases circulating during that time. Do I expect that we're going to have a bump in cases? Yeah, I sure do. Thankfully, monkeypox, people are more educated on it now, and you have the community is a little bit more aware. Some have been vaccinated against it. Some have some immunity at this point. And, you know, just like other sexually transmitted illnesses, it's something to be aware of, and they need to be mindful of it.
I have to tell you that over the years, Nicole, since COVID, me personally, and don't get angry with me, but I've lost all confidence in the CDC. I don't care what they say. WHO, forget about it. So the WHO comes out, I believe, yesterday and says, the next pandemic, even deadlier than COVID, is coming. Now, A, why would they say that? A headline like that is sure to cause panic, especially in New York where people are still wearing masks, these morons. And secondly, what kind of scientific proof do they have that makes that so absolute?
Well, listen, since the Spanish flu a century ago, they have been saying the world needs to prepare for another pandemic. Well, they're right, in theory, yes, we had COVID at some point. Yeah, so by saying there's going to be another pandemic, well, they're right, there will be at some point. Hopefully it's not in our lifetime, and, you know, if history, you know, goes to show us, it probably won't be in our lifetime, but you never know, and we'll just deal with it at that point. I would have loved to have said that, you know, I really thought that the CDC and the WHO, they also completely failed us. I went into this pandemic with an immense amount of respect for both of those entities. Much of it lost throughout the pandemic. They completely failed in their responses. Yes. They allowed politics to be infiltrated, and they lost sight of what is best for the people. And I don't know how we're going to handle the next one. Certainly right now I have zero confidence. Unless they do a complete overhaul of their institutions, I'm terrified for the world because I don't think that they will handle it at all. And thankfully, a lot of people have become educated on infectious diseases and public health. And I think common sense is going to play a little bit more of a part on the individual moving forward. That really didn't happen this last time.
Well, maybe not in New York, though. These people just, they're unbelievable. I mean, they're still wearing masks. 80 degrees, it's sunny. What are you wearing a mask about? Well, unless you're sick or, you know, what are you wearing a mask for? And I got to tell you, you're right, and I'm glad you agreed with me because you're much smarter. WHO, CDC, Anthony Fauci. I had Anthony Fauci on the show with Bernard when he was still alive, God rest his soul, early on. And we were heaping praise on him. He was wrong about everything. And even the teachers union, you know, those people, Randy Weingarten, Michael Mugru, so many people, Nicole, along the way that failed all of us, and not to make it political, but Democrats, they still rely on these people. What am I missing?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this a lot, and Anthony Fauci approached this pandemic as a 70-something older man, which is the higher risk when it came to COVID. And so he decided to implement his risk factors on the rest of the world when the reality was the majority of the world didn't have nearly as high risk as maybe him or some other people. And I wouldn't say that he was wrong about everything. I think Dr. Anthony Fauci is a very smart individual, but he threw out his basic science knowledge, his common sense, and he censored colleagues that were disagreeing with him so he didn't lose face in front of the public eye. And that was the biggest problem I had. He was too rigid. He may have put out an initial opinion that may have turned out wrong. We do that all the time. That's what science is all about, putting out hypotheses. We just try to prove and disprove them. The problem was he would throw out hypotheses as though it were fact. And then when it would be disproven, he would work to censor any data that disproved what he said. He didn't come back and say, we got it wrong, but thankfully we're able to prove it, and now this is what we're going to do. And he just never did that. And that is the antithesis of what actual science is.
Did Andrew Cuomo play a major part in 18,000 elderly people dying from COVID in New York? Yes or no?
Listen to me. I wish that last night Rita would have had some of those families, maybe even Janice Dean, to rebuttal what Governor Cuomo was saying about the COVID pandemic. His policies, as I talked about in Panic Attack, my book during COVID, directly resulted in the deaths of innocent Americans.
All right, so you're a doctor and a great cancer doctor, by the way. Great. And you are saying, just to repeat what you just said, and I love Janice Dean, she's a good friend of mine, you are saying 1,000% Cuomo's policies, direct result of 18,000 people dying, and you heard we didn't push back on that, so you think he is guilty, yes?
I think that the result of his policies led to innocent lives lost. And it's not just Andrew Cuomo. You also have Phil Murphy. And you have others throughout the country who didn't get as much fanfare as Andrew Cuomo. But Andrew Cuomo, most certainly, receiving his Emmy Awards, doing his media tours and his book deals and everything else, while he was isolating senior citizens, he was keeping them away from their loved ones. And ultimately, he was enacting policies that led to their death. It is devastating what happened, and the fact that we're still giving this man airtime is appalling.
60 seconds to go. I agree with all of it. The illegals, you may call them migrants. I call them illegals. Thousands and thousands and thousands pouring into all of our cities. 70,000 here in New York. From a medical standpoint, forget about jobs and whether they're dangerous people. From a medical standpoint, we have no idea what they're bringing from these other countries, right? I mean, there's got to be some medical fear, too, as to allowing these unvetted illegals walk amongst our kids and gymnasiums and all over our city, yes?
We have illness everywhere, but I can tell you that our healthcare system is already strapped, and these migrants that are coming over, they have had long, treacherous journeys and often are requiring extensive medical care, and therefore now all of a sudden our already strapped medical system is needing to care for these migrants, and it is very complex, and it is very expensive, and all of this is now going on the taxpayers.
It is all going on the taxpayers, isn't it? People like me and you, right?
As if we don't already pay enough in tax rates.
I know, exactly. Well, this was a great I mean, you always are great, but this was a really great conversation. It's great to have you back. Please keep coming back. Thank you again on a personal note from me and Danielle. And continued success, Fox News, all that stuff. Nicole Sapphire, you're great.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Dr. Nicole Sapphire, Fox News, right here on Sid and Friends in the Morning. 1-800-848-WABC. As always, that's the number. Got a big softball game coming up June 17th on Staten Island. Joseph Lem, turns out this guy was a tremendous cop. A lot of my friends know exactly who he is. And FAN Afternoon host, star Craig Horton, he's going to raise some big cash for this kid. And I contend that I'm already number one on the list of celebrity stars that Craig, Evan, Brandon, and Tiki are bringing out to the stadium that Saturday night. We'll find out if Craig agrees. He's coming up at 9:40. Leaders, watch your parking meters.
Oh, get born, keep on, short pants, romance. Learn to dance, get dressed, get blessed. Try to be success. Please her, please him. Buy gifts, don't steal, don't live. 20 years of schooling and it put you on the day shift. Look out, kid, to keep it all hid. Better jump down a manhole, light yourself a candle. Don't wear sandals and try to forge the scandal. Don't want to be a bum, you better chew gum to pump.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
Entertaining and informative.
Oh, you're my best friend.
77 WABC.
Being beat up and battered around. Be
been sent up and I've been shut down. You're the best thing that I've ever found. Handle me with care. Reputation's changeable. Situation's terrible. But baby,
Traveling Wilburys again on this Bob Dylan birthday. Jeff Lynne, ELO, Roy Orbison, Tom Petty, and Dylan. Great band, great song. This is their most popular song, though, right?
Probably, yes. It was a big thing when the video came.
This was huge with the video. Yeah. We see these four monster stars. And
five, actually.
I love Roy Orbison. He did that song, A Love So Beautiful, in the movie with Demi Moore when she banged Robert Redford, when Woody Harrelson was her husband for $1 million. We all got to ask the same question. Would you let Danielle bank somebody for $1 million?
I love that coming to you, yes.
Well, you know I couldn't do that.
I know. I'm
jealous when she walks out on the block.
I know.
Could you imagine me watching her take off in a helicopter with a great-looking witch guy to a yacht? I don't care if it was $10 million. I couldn't do it. I'd kill myself.
You'd be over at the pilot of the boat like, hey, you can turn this around, right? Yeah, you turn this around. Just go
Do you remember the scene when he's running up the stairs in the building to get to the helicopter? Could you imagine me?
Oh, yeah.
Now, the problem is I can't run up the stairs right now because I'm all beat up.
No, you'd stop and start screaming like, what is with my leg?
Take the money back.
Take it back. No, you can take it back. Danielle,
what are you doing?
No.
John Sarno. Some ladies, couple of ladies here, messaged me on Instagram and said, Howard Stern and a bunch of folks got cured by John Sarno. Don't go for surgery or MRIs and all that. And then I got Ralph Napolitano, who I love dearly. He's a great guy. Him and his brother own Ann and Tony's, a great restaurant on Arthur Avenue. And he's one of those whack job chiropractors. These are the craziest people God ever created.
We'll get you with Dr. Learman.
He's like, you don't need anything. You'll come to me. I'll get you. Are you nuts?
Yeah, we'll
I went to a chiropractor once. I couldn't walk for 2 months. I thought he broke my back.
Pop some balance in
these. These are the craziest people.
It does depend who you go to.
No, they're all crazy. Okay. Stop it. You got to go to a doctor. And listen, doctors aren't perfect either, but.
No.
No, they're not.
No, there's some that are just not.
Well, I don't feel well. So.
Some are great.
And now I got to play this baseball game, you know.
Yeah, but that's you made your bet on that. I mean, you accepted the invitation. So stop telling people you're going to do things and then.
No, I'm going to play.
Is someone going to run for you while you hit?
They did that for the old guys up in upstate New York on Sunday mornings.
Sorry.
My son would run for my father.
Okay, sorry.
Dead now, by the way.
You're not doing that.
At that point. No,
as injured as I am, I'm still going to have to do it, you know.
And with a torn hammy and everything.
But listen, it doesn't matter because the truth is, and I'm not sure Craig is going to admit this. I mean, Ryan Leaf, really? Come on. That's your big star? I'm the biggest star they've got. Outside of Craig. I'll give Craig. He's right there with me.
I'm going to have to look at the list.
Well, you can look at the list, but
I'm not saying
doubt it. Unless Trump is coming, there's nobody else in the country right now. Tucker got fired.
That's it.
So I'm second to Trump. So whether I play or not, just me being there is going to be a big deal, no?
Now batting fourth, Donald J. Trump.
I guess they're keeping my daughter another 2 to 3 days, I just found out. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sid, you could bat ahead of me. It's all right. It's all good.
I don't think Trump would do that, yeah.
Yes. You know what? I love you no matter what. You fall down running, it's all good. You're the best ever.
Talking about Trump, I met his one of his attorneys last night, this Alina Haba. She's on TV all the time. She wrote a story a little while ago that talked about she's really pretty. She's really pretty. And she worries that people don't take her seriously because she is that, you know. And she's like, yes, I'm beautiful, but I'm a great attorney, too. So her PR person just texted me to confirm she's coming on tomorrow, making her debut on this show, 8:05 tomorrow, Alina Haba.
Well, people don't take me seriously either.
Nobody takes me seriously. Like, Ralph is taking me seriously now because I called him a whack job, but of course I'm only kidding, of course.
For us, it's tough, to be honest, because we're so good-looking. And
right.
People just don't even, you know.
You know, all my family and friends, they go to chiropractors, all of them, and Ralph happens to be great at it, but I'm just, I got to go to a doctor. I can't mess around. I can't afford, I'm 56 years old, and I'm in bad pain. I can't afford to mess around here.
Sid,
I love Ralph, but.
Five clicks, Sid, and you'll be good. Okay, hang on. Now take a deep breath. Okay, it's all good. All right, take another deep breath. I know you fell on the floor, but now we're going to work on your exercises to get up off the floor.
Yeah. Go check Ralph out. Go to his Instagram page. And if you like a chiropractor, he's the best in the business. But I need some real medical attention. I'm in bad shape. I mean, my legs and my hands go numb. And I get nauseous.
What do you want them to do? Hit you with their degree in the back? Or just to prove that they're a doctor?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, you have a lot of issues right now.
I got a lot of issues.
You come in, the first thing you do, I'm on the board, you come behind me, like, bro, look at this. My right leg now from here to here. And it's like a 2 feet area you show me in the back of your leg. But if you can't sleep, that is the problem.
Can't sleep at all.
Because I had that a couple of years ago on the back of my leg. And that is torture.
Yeah.
Because I can't sleep, that's it. You got to be able to sleep.
I can't sleep. Yeah. I can't sleep. And when I roll over... And I, like, roll over on my right leg.
Right.
Then it hits it, and it hurts.
Brutal. Right. You definitely have to get looked at. Of course. Duh.
Yeah. Well, Danielle is great, you know. She got mad at me one time, because I woke her up. Otherwise, she's been great with me and very, very patient. She really has. I fell down last week, and she cleaned up the blood, and she's been terrific. But it got me a little depressed. I'm not going to lie. Like, I go home now. I get off the train at Fulton Street, and it's a relatively long walk from where the train stops to my apartment building, I'm leaving, thank God, in 3 weeks. But it's a pretty long walk.
That's kind of a stretch, yeah.
Yeah, you know what it is. You got to walk through the whole mall and through the Oculus. And it takes me, it used to take me 5 minutes. Now it's 20. I'm like, what's going on with me? You know, I go to the gym today, I'll lift, 250 pounds, no problem. But then I can't walk, so. Nicole said I should get an MRI to her husband.
You'll rebound.
Sapphire's husband is, a huge in this field. He's a neurologist. So.
She's married? Damn it.
Yeah, she's married. I'm sorry, bro. You're out. It's a shame, too, because I got to imagine you're number one on her list. You're right, number one.
That's what I wanted to hear. That's
yes.
All. That's it.
You'd be number one.
Before she got on the air, she was consulting with Justin. This is a big list of things you said. How you're... Yeah. Okay, we're going to need some private sessions, I believe.
I said get used to it.
You get used to it. If you pick up the phone ever again, I'm going to have another list. I love you.
All right.
Love you. Bye. Bye. Gotta go. Where's Sid?
77 WABC.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
No, I get by with a little help from my friends. The rag man draws circles up and down the block. I'd ask him what the matter was, but I know that he don't talk. And the ladies treat me kindly, and they furnish me with tea. But deep inside my heart, I know I can't escape. Mama, can this really be the
Bob Dylan's birthday today? We can't find Craig. Of course, he does television for Fox Sports, and he only has a very, very small window. Very small window. So, he's going to have to call us at some point. The game is June 17th, and for what it's worth, he actually texted me and said, let's do something. It's his idea. But he's busy. John Catsimatidis checks in. He says to me, too much weight. He's right, John. It's like you work out too much, you lift too much weight, no good. So I appreciate the concern from John, and he's probably right. You know, I mean, you get to a point where, and I have actually gone backwards. I don't lift nearly as much weight as I used to. I don't. I do more reps now than anything else, but it looks like the damage may already be done. But I do appreciate John Catsimatidis for checking in. Boy, it's been a tremendous show. Looks like guest two is going to be Craig calling from Fox, Alec. And I really think that Nicole Sapphire may have stolen it. Craig is here? All right, so June 17th, is the big game, the annual Joseph Lemp Foundation softball game. It's being held at John Catsimatidis, our stadium, the Berry Hawks, Staten Island University Hospital Stadium. It is the duo of Craig and Evan, the afternoon show at WFAN, taking on the midday show, Tiki Barber and Brandon Tierney. And the good news for Tiki and Brandon is it's a competition for softball and not for ratings. Anyway, here he is. Take that, BT.
Oh, well, here we go.
But, you know what? You know what's funny, Craig, is I was thinking about your Friday. So I do the this Oh the Pain podcast with Beningo. First show we did together in 18 years. And about half the show, all we did was kill Gio. That was it. That was about half the show. And then we took questions from the audience.
Yeah.
And they killed Gio. And I wanted to feel badly afterwards. But I didn't. Not even a little. Zero.
Listen, your DNA is what it is, man. You can't change who you are, right? I'm just concerned about your ability to play softball because it has been a while since you and I competed athletically with or against one another. And the last time I did see you was on a Boca Raton basketball court where you thought you were Jalen Brunson.
Well, let me tell you. No, I know. And to your credit, I haven't seen you play ball in a long time either. But you were, I'll give you this, a great recreational basketball player.
I mean, play a little bit. I just beat Tim Hardaway in a game of horse. So
oh,
I felt pretty good about myself.
That's not true.
That's true. We just did it on the DeWitt Playground last week, and it was a great thrill for me beating a Hall of Famer in horse. But June 17th, it's on like Donkey Kong. For those of you that don't know who Joseph Lemp was, he was an NYPD detective who did a couple tours of duty in Afghanistan and sadly lost his life on one of those tours. He left behind a widow and young children who are thriving right now, I'm glad to say. And just a good way to never forget Joe and the men and women who obviously serve our country proudly and with great distinction. And we're playing softball in Staten Island, like you said. And can't wait to have you on my squad and see what kind of skills you got.
None.
That's a whole bunch of money for the foundation.
I got zero skills. I've been talking. You came in late, but for the last 40 minutes, even Dr. Nicole Sapphire from Fox News has been on.
Yeah.
And I've been talking about not just one or two, but a variety of injuries I'm suffering through right now. I think the worst injury is I'm old, but I've got all kinds of. I may have to get an MRI. I may have a slipped disc. I don't know. And I'm still going to show up.
Stop it.
What?
It's softball. I have a torn labrum and rotator cuff. It's softball.
Well,
how bad could it possibly be?
I don't know. But here's the thing. Let's be honest. I'm not coming because I'm a Greg Jeffries, okay? I'm coming because you want my name on the list of great celebrities. I know it's tough to beat Ryan Leaf, but
So we've got Ryan Leaf. We've got Gerald McCoy, who just retired from the Buccaneers. I think Josh Norman is coming to play. We got a bunch of Giants and other local football players coming to play. You, of course, bring the star, caliber talent that you are, which we're very, very excited about. Plus, you're a promotional machine, which is why I invited you. Tiki's putting together a team of ex-Giants, so that should be interesting. And it's going to be a fun night. It's the night before Father's Day. It's only $10 a ticket. All the money goes to the foundation. And we're just looking to have a good time and keep the memory of guys like Joseph Lemp alive.
Well, it's a great cause. We spent so much time on this station, as you know, Craig. You and I are very close. With the cops and service people. And so it's near and dear to our heart, like it is to you.
I should mention, I apologize for interrupting that. There's a police precinct right across the street from that stadium. And there's I don't know the number, but there's a portion of funds that are going to go to support that precinct, that NYPD as well, because Joe was an NYPD detective. So the NYPD is involved from a charity standpoint. There's going to be a live band, and it's an excuse for guys like us to go out there and pretend like we can play sports still, raise money, have a good time. I love Staten Island. The stadium is great, and it's going to be a great night. Hopefully your listeners can come out and help out.
Well, they are going to come out for sure. I've already gotten a ton of messages because it took me all of talking about my promotional abilities. It took me six minutes to put something on Instagram.
Now, what position do you think you're playing?
Well, I mean, I want to. I should play shortstop in about four.
Well, you know, you're not playing shortstop.
What do you mean?
You know,
what?
That's what I do.
Oh, you do.
It's shit, I got a rule. If I'm putting a game together, I lead off and I play short, or I ain't playing.
No, no, you should. You're, and you're a better athlete than me anyway. Even I could admit that. I don't care.
What do you want to play third? You want to play first? I will give you, and I've not promised this to anybody else.
Yeah.
You can pick your position other than shortstop. You want to pitch? You want to catch? What do you want to do?
I think second base.
Done. You're the starting second baseman.
Well, who else is on? Evan Roberts is a good ball player, isn't he?
Evan Roberts is good. We have, who else do we have? We have Chris Mano, who played for the Chiefs and the Panthers, a great athlete.
Wow.
He's playing. I don't know why I'm having a brain moment.
How about
right now,
any former Mets on this team? Do we have, like, I don't know, Franco or Gooden or I don't know, somebody
Franco's
like that.
Franco's out of town. I'm waiting to hear back from Doc. I'm waiting to hear back from Straw. Plaxico is trying to work out his schedule, Plaxico Burress.
Wow.
It's going to be legit. It's going to be awesome. We have Chris DiStefano, the great comedian from Staten Island, playing. So it's we're crossing multiple sports and entertainment. It's just going to be a fun night. It's gonna be like softball in Staten Island. Like, what's better? Danino's, Ralph's Italian Ice, Belly Bocce Bakery. What are we doing? Let's go.
I'm with you. In fact, my lovely wife Danielle just said, I guess I should ask Craig to do our Dyspraxia softball game, which is our charity, as you know, Craig, for our little boy Gabriel. Yeah. He seems to have organized a great game. I'm hiring him. So, Danielle. Danielle, a huge Craig Carton fan. She loves what she's hearing right now, so that's terrific.
Now, you can tell her that I will play for sure, but that's for I'll
thank you.
Play.
Thank you. Now, is Chris Christie coming to this?
All right, so it's interesting. He, as many people know, is one of my closest friends. He, of course, is invited, and he and I have played a lot of softball together. He's a very good third baseman, and I've not gotten full confirmation yet. I know this. If he's in town, he will play. I'm just not sure what his schedule is for June just yet.
And I know you do sports, and you're the best at it. I mean, you're the best, and you've been the best for a long time, and you've
come back.
This is one of the great comeback stories ever. It really is. And you're number one, and you're killing it. You're doing the TV stuff, and couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I know you for 25 years. But Christie is a politician, and I know you stay away from that mostly on the band, but I think Olivero will let you answer this, okay?
Go ahead.
He's going to announce this week he's running for president. This is today. Does Chris Christie have Craig Carton's vote?
Well, he's one of my best friends.
What does that mean?
So,
if he's out of getting good at the job, so what? I'm your best friend. Would you vote for me?
No. truth be told, I think I forfeited my right to vote.
Oh, you probably did. You know what? I didn't think about that.
I'm actually not sure if I'm allowed to vote.
Oh,
I gotta check. I gotta check on that.
You know, you're right. I forgot about that. I'm sorry.
It's all good. But
no, but that doesn't seem right. I mean, you live in New York and New Jersey.
Yeah, as you know, I was a knucklehead for a little while.
No, I know,
and,
but
it comes with repercussions.
I know, but Craig, it doesn't seem fair that some guy that just got here yesterday from Venezuela to the South border can vote. You can't. No, you're wrong, by the way. I think the Democrats in New York allow people to vote.
Twice or three times, right?
So,
look, if I was allowed to vote, I would vote for Chris Christie.
Yeah.
He is as loyal and honest and as good a friend as I have. And I fully support, his dreams and aspirations. And if he does decide to announce his running for president, he'd have my full support.
All right.
Plus, I get to, if he wins, I get to eat dinner in the White House.
Right.
That's awesome.
Well, that's why I became friends with Trump, because you're not going to be eating dinner at the White House with Chris Christie. You'll be in New Jersey somewhere. I'll be at the White House. And finally, what about Boomer?
Don't forget, if Trump wins and he does invite you to the White House, you have to remember, he dictates what you eat, and he makes you eat the meatloaf. Don't forget that.
You're so right about
that.
That's
a true story, by the way. That's a true story.
No, I know that's a true story. What about Boomer? Will Boomer Esiason be at the game?
He had a previous engagement for a charity that he couldn't get out of.
Right.
So he did try, and he's always great about those things, but he will not be able to come to the game. Because the original idea was going to be, us versus, Boom and the gang in the mornings.
Right.
But he can't do it, and if he doesn't do it, you cut off the head of the snake, the others scatter. So that's how that goes.
That's one of the, we'll let you run, Craig, and you were great as always, but that is one of the questions I get asked all the time, is you're tight with Craig, and what is that relationship like? Craig and Boomer. I said, as far as I know, I think they're pretty good. I mean, I don't know.
Listen, the relationship, you know, will never be the same as it was when you're sitting next to somebody as close as we were. Like, you know, obviously, you and the co-hosts you've had over the years.
Sure.
But we still get along great. We're still in each other's corner. It's all good. And, you know, it's you know, things evolve and change just based on circumstance more than anything else.
So right now there's an elderly lady down in South Florida who was so happy you were just on with me. Yes, the same lady that yelled in your face at Mickey's.
Yeah, here's the story. So my daughter graduates from the University of Miami a couple weeks ago, okay? I'm at a brunch with all these kids that are graduating and their families who are down there for the graduation. A nice woman comes up to me. I've never met her before. And she goes, "Are you Craig Cotton?" And I go, "Yes, ma'am. Nice to meet you." "Oh, I'm such a big fan of yours." I go, "I appreciate it very much." And then here's the kicker. "I listen to Sid Rosenberg every single day from my veranda, and he's always talking about you, and you're wonderful. And Sid's the best. I love Sid, and he always says good things about you. So I love you, too."
See that?
"That's it. I said hi."
Yeah, and it turns out, ironically, that's a great story, that like her granddaughter is friends with Mickey, right?
So her granddaughter graduated with my daughter. That's correct, yes.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Sid's phenomenal. Yeah. And his family's wonderful.
Yeah, that's great.
And we miss him here in Boca.
That's fine.
And we miss going to Meisner Park and having dinner at Gigi's.
You remember Gigi's. That's funny, Craig.
Yeah, that's where I met all the women I dated.
Yeah, that was a big Friday night hangout. That's right. That was a big deal. So one more time for folks that want to show up June 17th. Give them the details. And where can they buy tickets, Craig, right now?
So if you go to ferryhawks.com, that's obviously the independent minor league baseball team that plays in Staten Island.
We own that team, as you know.
I did not know that.
John Katsimatidis, my owner.
Part of the ownership group?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm enthralled with John. I've never met him. I obviously know who he is, and I'm obviously growing up going to Gristiti's in New Rochelle. I would love to sit down with that guy one-on-one for a half hour. He fascinates me in a good way. Anyway.
Well, yeah, you'll come here one day and do that, but he does own that team, yes.
All right, so they've been very kind enough to kind of give us the stadium for this event. It's going to honor the it's going to raise money for NYPD and the Joseph Lem Foundation. It is a true celebrity charity softball game. There's going to be a live band. The tickets are $10 across the board. That is it. Go to ferryhawks.com to get the tickets or check out any of our social medias. We've all put it out there. It's June 17th. The game will start a little bit after 6 o'clock, so get there, you know, by 5:30. There'll be great festivities. There's live music. And it's just going to be a fun day. You'll get a chance to hobnob with celebrities and a bunch of former athletes. And we're just looking forward to a great Saturday night in Staten Island for a great cause. And hopefully everyone listening right now can find the time to come on out for a couple hours and enjoy themselves on the borough that gets no respect and it deserves it, the great Staten Island.
That's beautiful. And I'm honored that you invited me to this, and I can't wait to see you and play that day. This was a great spot, Craig. Congratulations on everything you're doing. New York is proud of you. We love you. And we'll see you on the 17th, buddy. Thank you so much.
You will bat 10th and play second. All good.
All right. Thank you, Craig. There he is. Cotton and Roberts every afternoon on The Fan. My friend for 25 years, Craig Cotton. That's it.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.